Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This just in from the Steve and Johnny Important Stuff desk.
Yeah.
If you're driving tonight, turn on your damn lights.
Please.
Strong message to follow. So, rainy night.
Yes, it is.
Rainy, foggy, and the count got up to, I'm sure there were more, but the count got up to 7 people driving with no headlights.
In fog. In really hard rain. They're driving with a death wish. It has to be, because how can they see in front of them?
I'm amazed that there are any cars on the road that don't have automatic...
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to set your lights to automatically come on...
give up your car keys.
Read your damn manual.
No, okay. Give up your car keys.
So that's 2 dams for the show.
I know, oh, that's
boy.
It.
Ooh, wow.
You are racy tonight.
Yeah.
I love it.
No rules tonight. They're out the window.
That's right, because it's rainy.
It's a dark and stormy night.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Let me tell you, we left the house, and this is after I fretted all day about the... did I tell you it was 91 plants that I planted?
Yeah.
91 zinnias I planted. So I just stood there in the window, just looking at them, saying, please don't float away. Please. Because I haven't had time to really, you know, get stuck in the ground.
To grab onto the soil.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was making the motions, but the words weren't coming out.
I do that often.
Oh, golly. So I just have to hope for the best. I hope that they are still there and they haven't floated down to our neighbor's house. But when we left, I thought, oh, this is great. We got a break in the weather. We're going to cruise into work. It's going to be interesting because the sky's kind of weird. We got to Lakeshore Drive and wow. The skies opened up.
Yeah, either outside lane, left or right.
Yes.
Lots of ponding and potential floods and not good stuff.
I have to believe it's just as bad on the expressways because there, golly, there were points on Lakeshore Drive where there was no inside lane. It was completely underwater. And, of course, you know, you have people that are in certain kinds of vehicles that feel that they, you know, they can just drive through it.
They're up high and they got the tires as big as two of your cars. And so they can just...
So we got here, okay, a little stressful, but okay.
But you should go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show and see some of the pictures Johnny put up.
Yes, yes, yes. A little weird. I'm enjoying the fact that
No, we're talking about your pictures.
Don't laugh, Ron.
I can't help but encourage him. It's funny.
I bring in the cookies, and then he supports
very
you.
Very good cookies, by the way. Thank
well,
you.
Thank you. That's really all I did today was bake and stand in the window gnashing my teeth and wringing my hands going, please, little flowers, don't float away, please. You heard me, right, from the other room? Please, little flowers. Well, yes, we have pictures posted, and you can sign in because we'll do our shout-out a little later. We're at 312-981-7200, and we've got a lot of stuff planned for tonight.
But we do have a schedule change. Mm-hmm. For those of you who went to our Facebook page where we post the schedule, and if you didn't check it later, there has been one change. Jessica Radloff, who normally joins us. She's the author of The Big Bang Book and the West Coast Glamour editor. We're going to talk showbiz stuff with her, but she came down with laryngitis.
Yes.
So we're going to talk to her either next week or the week after.
In fact, she talked to her dad in St. Louis, and he said, no, you cannot go on the radio in Chicago sounding like a squeaky toy. And that's what you sound like. There's a little voice coming out of her. I said, yeah, save your voice. So... She's been really busy. She's been doing a number of, it's like a panel where she's the MC of a panel of stars from a particular show. She did like Grey's Anatomy and Bridgerton. And, you know, it's really a big thing because if you're a fan and you happen to be out in L.A., you can go see them, but they also Zoom it. And anyway, I think she just wore herself out. So she'll join us probably next week on the radio. But tonight, we got stuff going on.
Coming up a little later tonight, an in-studio visit from two of our favorite people, Josh and Erica from The Empty Pockets. Mm-hmm. And yes, they're going to be premiering a brand new song.
Yes.
New for them song.
I'm excited about this.
And also, Patrick Crispin joins us tonight, and we're going to talk about cybersecurity and that awful Ticketmaster
That's
hacking.
Crazy. Yeah. And there's a new one, too. We've talked a number of times. If you hear coughing going on, we're still dealing
with
that.
We're not. Excuse me. We're not contagious, but the doctor said the cough stuff goes on for a couple of weeks. So,
and
we
hit the Robitussin before the start of the show. It just takes a little while for it to kick in. Tell you what, we'll take a break, come back. We're going to get an update on the weather for those of you that have to be out tonight. So stay with us here on WGN.
It was a dark and stormy night, and did I see some riders on the storm? Behind those doors.
Oh, it's feeling a little like Halloween around here.
Yes, it is.
Golly. Okay, so the weather is a big concern tonight because you might have plans for the Sunday of your weekend. If you have to stay in tonight, do that, please, because it is challenging. We're going to go over to WGN-TV and get an update on what's going on with the weather. Mike Jansen's over there. How are you, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
I am doing okay. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. So what are we looking at? When's this going to end?
Give it a few more hours. I think we start to dry things out as we get closer to midnight, and then we look for some sunshine to return as we progress through our Sunday. And that'll warm us up. Yeah, we'll be a little bit cooler than average. It'll be definitely cooler by the lakefront. But as we get into our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I've got highs in the 80s.
Mm.
So we're going to have more heat. We're going to have, you know, more of a June-type feel around here with more humidity, but there's also some chances for some thunderstorms as we get Monday through Wednesday, kind of on and off here and there. But, you know, not everybody has seen the same amount of rain here today. There are some places that have not had any fun whatsoever. You know, the Cubs game being delayed on the north side. Mm-hmm. While I was looking at the rainfall totals across the street at the Cubby Bear, and they picked up just over an inch and a quarter. Mm. So that's one of the reasons why they didn't want to get out there and play right away. So it's going to be a late night on the north side playing baseball there. Anybody that has been heading out tonight, the good news is as we progress through the evening hours, the rain has not only decreased in terms of its coverage, but intensity as well. Because anybody that was running around out there for a while, if you didn't have an umbrella with you, you were going to get soaked. Now it's just kind of one of those nuisance type rains more than anything else. Just kind of, and I think one of the things that really hits us is the fact that we just closed out our fourth warmest meteorological spring in Chicago. So that's your March, April, May. We were about 4 degrees warmer than average for those 3 months. And even May itself was about 4 degrees warmer than average. So one of the warmer Mays we've seen around here. And we saw plenty of sunshine in May as well. I mean, normally a normal May, you can see maybe 50% of your possible sunshine. We had 66% of our possible sunshine this past May. So then you get to today, and it's nothing but clouded over and wet, and it makes us feel like we have gone backwards into April or something like that. But no, it is the start of June. Just give it a little time.
Yeah. And give that standing water a little time, because even if the rain stops, it's so deep on the drive in particular, on the outside and the inside lane.
Yeah, be careful as you're driving home.
Yeah, that's not going to happen overnight, so... well, that's good news. It sounds like Sunday's going to be delightful. I'm looking forward to that, and I hope that my 91 plants have survived this beating of a rain all day today. And I'll be out there probably anchoring them down after this.
But, Mike, speaking of delightful, I'm going to segue for a second, and you tell me if you have to run. But our the keeper of the big plug tonight, Adam Phillips, says that he went to school with you.
Yeah.
And he said we should ask you about the sweet corn on your farm. What's that all about?
Well, the family farm, and this has become a big thing for my cousin. And he has with Jansen sweet corn. It's in southwestern Kankakee County, a little town I grew up in, of Hersher. And he actually lives on the farm where my great-grandparents lived. And he has made, just taken a couple of acres that isn't used for field corn or for soybeans, and he has sweet corn, and it has grown into this huge thing for him, to where he's got these stands that are set up in many parts of Kankakee County, out obviously close to Hersher, which is a town of just 1,600 people, and then around Kankakee, some different places as well, and then he'll take it to certain fairs. The Hersher, where Adam and I went to school, you have the Corn Bowl. Yeah, that's right. The Corn Bowl. This year will be the 48th annual Corn Bowl in downtown Hersher, where they close down Main Street, and they will roast dozens and dozens of ears of corn and have pulled pork sandwiches, and everybody just gathers there, and that's how they celebrate the Friday, usually after the 4th of July. So it's a big thing, yeah.
The Friday after the 4th. The 4th is on a Thursday this year. It's the 8th.
They kind of stagger it. So this year they'll actually be then on the 12th, right? I do believe is when it would be, looking ahead to the Friday following, I'd have to go back and look. But, yeah, not right after the 4th this year, but the following week.
All right, great.
It all depends on when the 4th happens, right? And so if it was on a Sunday or something like that, then you would have it the following Friday. But yeah, it's their motto is Jansen sweet corn, we're all ears.
Oh, that's a good t-shirt too.
I've got a t-shirt.
All right.
Few things in life are better than really good sweet corn.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
It is one of summer's delights. It really is. And I like to put it on the grill. We like to, you can boil it. You can do whatever you want with it. My cousin's wife, they'll use it and make it into salsa and so many other things.
Ooh.
Because there's just, it's there for that brief moment in time, right? So you have to take advantage of it.
That's right.
Do you know how hungry you're making us right now?
I got a pretty good idea just myself thinking about, that really buttery ear of sweet corn.
Oh, stop it!
Right? Well, that's the thing is that at the Corn Bowl, they'll actually take old coffee cans and they'll melt the butter in there. Used to be able to go and dunk, and I don't know if they still do that or not. They may just have the the squeezable butter on there. But it's just one of those things that you look forward to it. And my cousin does a very smart thing. He plants his corn. He staggers it. He doesn't plant everything all at once. The hope is that the first pick will come right around the 4th of July, and it's staggered. If he can get it well into August, then he's got something he can, you know, continue to provide for the people around there. And he has in the last few years, I don't know how many dozens of ears of corn. He's been the one that's actually donated to the folks for the Corn Bowl. So it's just kind of nice to have that tie.
I love this.
So if we take I-57, we can get to Kankakee, also to Hersher for the big corn festival?
You can, and actually used to be I know if you took I-57 and got off there close to where the Kankakee County Fairgrounds are located, you literally could get off I-57, drive about a half mile, you'd be able to find one of his corn stands, and you could jump right back on 57 and head back north again. So
I feel a road trip.
I do too.
You would not be disappointed. I can tell you that much. I usually end up every year bringing back. I think last time I made a trip last summer, it was somewhere around 13 or 14 dozen I brought back to the folks here at the station.
Wow! All right.
Could we put in a bid for some of that?
We certainly could. You certainly could.
Mike is now my new best friend.
Wow. Yes.
Because I bought corn at Jewel, and oh my gosh, was it? It was old. It was so old.
Not the same.
No, not the same. Well, thank you for the update, and thank you for that information on Hersher. I guess I don't know where I've been, but I didn't realize there's a little town of Hersher. Hersher.
Yeah, Adam can give you directions.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike.
I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You
Thanks
too.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Bye-bye now.
Weather and sweet corn.
How
That's what it,
it
says on Mike's business card.
And really,
I am so hungry. Adam, you've made us so hungry right now by suggesting we talk to Mike about that.
Can you imagine big coffee cans?
Hey, Adam, come in here for a quick
coffee
second.
Cans full of butter where you can just go and dip your ear of corn in it. Man, oh man. I guess, are you from Hersher? You are. Just when you think you know a guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So we take I-57 and we get off at the Kankakee exit?
Exit 308.
308.
Yeah.
And he says that there's even a corn stand.
One of his corn stands are right there. And
oh, my gosh.
It's an honor system. You grab what you want, put your money in the box.
No, stop it.
Is it as good as, I mean, I am salivating right now.
Everybody that, what was that corn company used to come here all the time?
Mirai
corn.
Yes.
Mirai. I've had that, and Jansen's corn, blows out of the water. It's not even comparable.
Wow, because
really,
Mirai, you don't have to even put butter on it. You just eat it raw.
Same with Jansen's.
Wow, yeah,
I get a couple dozen every year.
I'm so glad he updated us. Thank you for telling us about that. Because
but the Corn Bowl, you get a coffee can full of butter, you just go
and dunk it. Yeah,
walk around, run down your arm.
And Mike said, didn't he say his great grandparents have had that farm? Mm-hmm. So it's been the Jansen farm.
It's their family farm for many years.
Wow,
they've been farming a long.
So we haven't even made it to the first half hour, and we have a food jones going on
already. And wouldn't eating corn on the radio be fun? Boy, that would just sound so good. Because you know what would happen? Everybody at home would start looking for an ear of corn.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that tip.
No problem.
Because I can see a road
trip. I'll have to bring some in.
Yeah, I want a road trip. Yeah, I want to make a little trip down I-57.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when we would travel back and forth to Tennessee when I was a kid, that's where we always went for vacation because that's where my grandparents were. When we were coming north, when we got to Kankakee, there was this great country cooking restaurant. Like the country diner or something. It was just good. It was biscuits and gravy and fried chicken. And
they had the best fried chicken.
Absolutely.
It's about maybe 2 blocks from my house.
Really?
What was that called? It's out of business now.
Okay.
It's a halfway home.
But they had a gigantic billboard on the side of the road. And we felt like we were home. When we'd stop there and eat.
It was good food.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Even though we had a couple of hours once we got back on.
The homestead. It was called the homestead.
Yes.
Yeah, the homestead.
You're right.
Okay.
I could see the billboard in my head.
It was a red building. Looked like a barn.
Yes.
Yeah. Really, I live about 2 blocks from there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was good.
Their fried chicken was unbelievable.
Big old biscuits.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah.
The Linsky family owned that. The Linsky.
It's going to be a long night.
It's going to be a very long night.
Because we got nothing but cookies. That's it.
Because we got
pretty good.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yes.
So we're talking sweet corn and fried chicken, and all we've got is Robitussin.
How sad.
And cookies, yeah.
How sad is that? You know what? If I had chicken thawed out, I'd go home and fry chicken at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's, it just sounds so good.
Yep. It does. Oh, you can't beat good fried chicken.
Gosh.
Johnny's mom made
the best
yeah. fried chicken.
In her good old iron skillet.
I think Johnny is a wonderful cook. And I say that not just because we're married, but Johnny's mom
made the chicken.
Fried chicken by which all fried chicken is defined.
Well, you got it every year on your birthday, fried chicken and a chocolate cake.
Yeah.
She said, Steve's the easiest guy in the world to shop for, your fried chicken and a chocolate cake.
I'd be down for that meal.
Yes. All right. We got a lot to cover. Thank you, Adam. Stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio, and I don't think I've ever heard that. I like it. Who is that, Julian?
It's Devo.
I thought so. I wish I'd shouted Devo.
You should have shouted Devo.
Devo, yes. Wow. Okay, it's time for our shout-out. And we've got folks on a sweet corn kick because we're getting all kinds of texts at 312-981-7200 on the subject of sweet corn and where to get good sweet corn if you can't get out to Hersher. And also fried chicken is on people's minds. Listener for 312 said, Southerners make the best fried chicken. Well, at least my mama, as a Southerner, did.
Yeah.
And it was as it, this...
And your mom made... And this was one of those moments from the first time I was over at Johnny's mom and dad's house for dinner. And I made what I thought was a compliment, and apparently Joyce didn't take it that way, but she came to know that I really was serious, and I loved it. It was fried chicken and lumpy mashed potatoes. Not just a little bit of lumps. I loved it.
But you said... Oh, boy, I really love lumpy potatoes. I could tell by the look on her face. She was crestfallen, like, really?
But over the years, she came to understand that I was very serious.
Yes. I don't like whipped potatoes when they're so almost like pudding.
Smooth. I don't like it like hard lumps but just a little bit of...
You like it just the way Mama made it, which is
exactly.
Just so that you know you're eating a tater, right?
Yeah.
Southerners make the best fried chicken, 312 says. Something to do with that cast iron skillet. Yes, a well-seasoned cast iron skillet. Don't crowd the chicken. That's another secret. The listener says secret seasoning and another person actually making the food always makes it better. Everything tastes better when we don't have the sensory overload of the start to finish preparation process. Well, I beg to differ. I enjoy making the whole meal start to finish.
And I love, I mean, I'll be in the in our office, I'll be working, I'll be in the living room, wherever, and the wonderful smells wafting out from Johnny's kitchen, and I just...
It was bacon today. He said, I smell bacon. I said, we only get 2 pieces each. It's the weekend. We're going to get crazy. We actually had 3 because they were kind of paper thin.
But we have a serious food joke going on.
I know. We got to move on
early
here.
Early in the show.
As Devo said, it's time for our shout. And Dean in Indy is listening where it's raining just as hard as it is here. Robin's in Dyer, Indiana. Patrice Tintara is one of our wonderful listeners. Ben Garrett's in Atlanta, Georgia. Terry Knight is in Batavia. Brian Lefevre's in Bridgeport. Thank goodness Bridgeport is listening. Sally Franz is tuned in. Susan Altman is in Naperville. Bobby Danos, our bubby. He's in
Bobby.
In Sandwich.
5 hours we've got.
Guess where my mind went when I said sandwich. I immediately went to their fair, the sandwich fair, and those ginormous...
Elephant ears.
No, I'm thinking the pork tenderloin and the pork chop.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I'm sorry. A serious... Mega Food Jones has broken out early in the show.
I know how to put the kibosh on the Food Jones because coming up, I'm going to share with you the cost of food at a music fest.
Oh, this is crazy.
Just 1 mile from our house in Florida. The cost of food.
Seriously, stick around.
You'll be stunned.
I didn't believe this. Yes. And I'm familiar with the high cost of everything on the panhandle right now, but this is nuts.
Oh, Catherine Kramerzik, forgive me, Catherine, but I'm trying to read my own handwriting. She's tuned in. Is Simone is in Tampa. Linda Obremski's in Plano. Sherry Hanrahan is out in Romeoville. Stacy's in Algonquin. Mark Lindsay's tuned in Aurora. Bonnie's in Butternut, Wisconsin. We'd love to hear from Bonnie. Sen alumni, David Shines in Mount Prospect. Jim G's in Wisconsin. Celine's in Chicago. Effingham is tuned in, a 217 area code. Bob and Sherry are in Arlington Heights. George Clements is in Augusta, Georgia. Valerie Bear is tuned in. Our friend Carol Summers is in South Florida and says, send some of that rain to us. In the Panhandle, they're getting so much rain. They don't need any more rain. Beverly Goodall is tuned in. She's excited about the empty pockets and Patrick Crispin being on the show tonight. Mary Gold is listening in Tinley Park. Delphine Berriman, thank you for tuning in. Donna Youngheim, one of our great listeners, tuned in. Susie Schimmel from Glen Ellen. Carrie Johnson, Palm Coast, Florida. Mary Ellen Vance is in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Happy June, she says. Susan Roche is out in Wheeling. Ellen Maria is in McHenry County. Tom Kazmarek is in Highland Park. Judy B. in Oaklawn. Karen Price is tuned in from Schaumburg. Sharon Malone in K-Town. Peter Jacobowitz is in Citrus County, Florida. Scott Cooper is listening in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Scott. Lester Clyden is our trucking buddy. He says he's around Cleveland, Ohio tonight, listening the old-fashioned way. Rich Wade is tuned in. Also, Sandy McComas is in Michigan City, Indiana, listening on her AM radio. Janet Gellert's in Gainesville, Florida. Linda Moeller's in the Oklahoma Panhandle. Dr. Cryptosis just finished an appearance at the Quad Con Comic Show and the Toy Show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and he's listening. Chuck Snitchler, our good friend in Hobart, Indiana, is tuned in. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Rita Ragey is in Fort Worth, Texas. Norb Rosansky's out in Aurora. Robin Aiken in Port Charlotte, Florida. A lot of Florida folks tuned in tonight. That's wonderful. Good. Christine Failing's in Plainfield with a rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Priscilla Gilbert Steig is in Joliet. Bonnie Pearson's in Grays Lake. Helen Thomas in K-Town. Jean Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Jan Reinhardt, also rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Celine Ellers and Nancy Taffy is listening in West Allis. And I think I got you all. If I missed you, I'll get you next week. Well, I will mention, we had a number of texts on the subject of corn, fried chicken, and driving with your lights off. And a listener said, hey, cut us some slack. King John Williams doesn't know how to work his automatic lights on his car.
I think we've talked about that before, and we need to have a serious conversation with John.
We need to take him out to the parking lot.
He's a smart man. Yes. There is no excuse to not know how to do that.
Yes.
By the way, before we move on.
Yes.
Now, Johnny just did all the shouts.
Right.
Because we get them largely from our Facebook page and from text.
Right.
Because we post a little early in the afternoon what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we are both capable of reading what comes along under our Facebook post.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But just in case we're not.
Oh.
and we're going to talk with Patrick Crisman about this later tonight. So this afternoon, we go to our Facebook page.
Yes.
Just to get an idea of who's doing what.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook's Meta AI pops up and says, what people are saying. Listeners are excited for tonight's show, tuning in from various locations, including Wisconsin, Texas, Florida, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, and Washington, D.C. They're looking forward to the in-studio performance by the Empty Pockets and the latest updates from Patrick Crispin. That's from Facebook's Meta AI.
Yeah.
What?
At least, it's right. Unlike that goofy thing that popped up last week.
Yeah.
To keep the cheese on your pizza, try glue. Try glue. What? So be very careful when you read the Meta AI synopsis of any page that you go to or anything that you Google. If you Google a question, typically a paragraph is going to come up. It may be very wrong, so be very careful.
And we're going to talk about a lot of this a little later tonight when Patrick Crispin joins us.
Let's take a break and come back. I've got the price rundown for the food that's being sold this weekend at the Music Fest. not far from our house down in Florida. You're not going to believe the prices, seriously. And with the fairs coming up this summer, I cannot imagine anyone is going to go this route because this is crazy time. So stay with us here on WGN.
Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it, just eat it.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Little Weird Al, eat it. Now, let me set the stage for this.
Okay.
We've talked about this, but just for those of you who come in late to this conversation, our little house in the Panhandle, Panama City Beach, Florida, is now roughly 1 mile from a major entertainment venue. And right now, there is something called the Gulf Coast Jam that's going on. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And there's some phenomenal performers. Garth Brooks is going to be there, a whole bunch of people. And the prices are just outrageous. Mm. If you wanted to go with you and seven of your closest friends, and if you wanted to get a box, the ticket price was $25,000, but financing was available.
Yes, they were advertising that there was a financing available, meaning you didn't have to put it on your credit card. You could break it, kind of like putting your tickets on layaway,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is insane. But if you wanted to do the whole 4 days, from Thursday when the music started, and there were big names on Thursday and Friday,
yep.
And it continues tonight and Sunday, the tickets were in the $400, $500 range.
And this is a little area. When my dad first moved down to Panama City Beach, it was just a wonderful Gulf Coast town. You could see the beautiful white sand, the beautiful water of the Gulf Coast. Now, there are high-rises, and everything is building up, and they're six-laning what was a two-lane road,
mm-hmm.
And it's become the tourist destination. I'm pretty sure it is, along with Disney World, one of the top two mm-hmm. tourist destinations in the state of Florida.
Yeah, I believe so.
This weekend, Gulf Coast Jam going down mm-hmm. there. We have a relative that went down there.
Right. She went to see Jelly Roll mm-hmm. last night and said that he lived up to all of her great expectations because
like
she's
him
a huge
a lot.
Fan. Yes. Tonight was affected by storms. Mm-hmm. And boy, that would really stink if you'd spent a couple $100 and maybe drove in from out of town and then the weather goes south on you. So they were delaying everything and it's going mm-hmm. to get started a little later tonight. But of course, they have a time when they have to stop. You know, mm-hmm. All the lights go out at a certain time. Anyway, Morgan Wallen is there tomorrow. Just a really nice mm-hmm. lineup of people. And if we were there, we could sit on our front porch and we could hear the music. That's
yeah.
how close we are. And we could eat our bologna and crackers. And we could drink our cold sodas or our glass
or
of wine.
Or if we went over to the Gulf Coast, Jim, if we wanted, what might we want?
Well, if you wanted a turkey leg, because that's not something you would make at home.
One
turkey leg. Yeah.
Julian, one turkey leg. What are you guessing?
One turkey leg, not a whole turkey, but one turkey leg. What do you think?
$8.
$32.
That's a three.
32.
And a two. And
do
a dot.
Have gold flakes in there?
No, that's a Thanksgiving dinner in my book. $32. Now, Julian, you see I'm reading the concession board, the actual concession board here. A friend took this picture and sent it to me. If you want a Polish sausage, one Polish sausage.
Okay, Julian, Polish
what
sausage.
Think?
What are you guessing?
Oh, and now that we have a $32 turkey leg, I'm going to say $40.
No, $24. It's a steal. if we'd like an Italian sausage, that's $24. But what if you'd like to have a pulled pork sandwich with some chips on the side? What are you thinking?
Okay, now, is it different with or without the chips?
It's different with or without the chips. Yes, it is different.
Okay.
Yes, if you want a pulled pork sandwich, that would be $24. If you want a pulled pork sandwich with a pickle spear and some chips, it's $32. No. Yeah. If you want a cheeseburger meal, that's $25. A foot-long corn dog, $25. A combo platter, which they don't tell us what's on combo platter, but that would be your $40 meal. A seafood basket. Now, again, you're standing in the hot sun while you're eating this because you can't bring food in with you. So if you
can't bring food, you cannot bring umbrellas with you. You can't bring water with you.
If you want a seafood basket, that's a mere $45. There better be a white tablecloth when I'm eating a $45 seafood basket.
And Garth Brooks better be serving it
for me. Yes. If you would like fries... Oh, boy. Julian, an order of fries.
Order of fries.
One order of fries.
What do you think?
$15.
$17.
Wow.
Yes. Onion rings, $17. Pickles, $17. Mozzarella sticks, $17.
Is the price is right?
Yes.
That's out with or without salt.
Well, you know what? $17, are they thinking by the time you add tax and probably a service charge, it's $20.
Sure.
I bet that's why they go with the $17 figure. If you want curly fries, regular flies. Regular flies are $17. Curly fries.
With or without wings?
$20 for curly fries. A fried Oreo is $17. A popsicle.
Popsicle.
Yeah, a popsicle is $5.
Good grief.
Now, you need something to wash down that turkey leg.
Okay, I'm just going to say at this point, just give me a bottle of water.
A bottle of water would be, well, actually, it's a steal, $4. It's okay. More than that at the airport. So $4 is not bad.
If you want a Coke.
$15. $15.
For one.
$15.
One Coke.
And if you want a refill, you've already got the glass. You want a refill. Which is kind of icky because they're going to put that cup that you've been drinking. That's $10 for a refill. I know. It's stunning. I can't even.
Caviar in it?
No. Well, they do have something that's kind of, I guess you would say, exotic, and that's alligator sausage. But hey, it's the same price as a Polish, and it's the same price as a corn dog. And an Italian sausage and a steak and cheese is $24 and a gyros is $24. And you know they call it a gyros. You know if you walked up and said, I'll take a gyros, I'll go, huh? It's a gyros. I'm still kind of stuck on the hot dog at $11 and a corn dog for $16. I'm like, really? That's insane.
We love the panhandle, a little part of Florida. But
yes.
They are, where do I begin? They're overbuilding. The infrastructure can't handle it. The prices are going through the roof. They're pricing out all of the people who used to be able to just take a friendly drive down to the Florida Panhandle and get a look at the Gulf.
There are people who live there. They've been there their whole life. Their generations have lived there.
Not sure how much longer they're going to be able to stay there.
Yeah, because it was small town America, and this is where they were born and raised. Yeah. And it's really not Florida. I call it, it's more like the South. You're in the South. You go to a restaurant, you get a meat and three. You get your tea sweet, unless you say unsweetened.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is, because it's really like you're in the South. And the listener said that $4 bottle of water is probably one of those super short mini bottles for $4.
Yeah.
Or they have empty water bottles and they're going to fill it up with water themselves. Who knows? Well, there you have it.
A lot coming up. Empty Pockets are going to be joining us. So stay with us at WGN Radio.
She got shocked by an electrician.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. I never know where to jump in on this song.
I know.
Because A, I want to let it keep playing. B, it's just too cool.
Yes, and you're listening to The Empty Pockets, and we had to stop the music because they're in studio. Well, half of The Empty Pockets are in studio with us. That girl's voice that you hear is our guest, Erica Brett. Hey, Erica.
Hi, hi.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be here.
I love that song. It really is hard to interrupt it because it's like you really rock out on that.
Thank you. And that poor woman, she runs the gamut with those men.
She does. Yeah. There's a name for her, you know.
Oh, that little floozy.
That's the word I was saying.
It sounds good on the air. I like how that sounds.
I'd like to say she's having fun, but she's having a lot of something.
Yes.
She's having some troubles. I think they've named like 18 professions in that song.
Yes.
If that little floozy should be a group name.
Yeah. It definitely. Or like a little song like that little floozy. Yeah. She's what I want.
Little doo-wop number.
She's what I want.
Little floozy.
The other voice you hear is also the guy that you hear on guitar, and that's Josh Solomon. Forgive me.
Easy for you to say.
I know. It's such
great
an easy name.
Great to see you guys. I love being here with
you. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Robert.
Wonderful to have you guys back. And we'll be talking out of our heads because we're doing Robitussin.
Okay, wonderful. So that's
perfect.
That was very popular when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So we're so glad to have you guys back. But you have some cool stuff going on. You have a new For You song that is about to be released.
We
and you
do.
Have a very cool event that you're going to be doing. So
we got a lot going on, guys. It's an exciting time for us, the Empty Pockets. We are announcing officially on Monday a new single, but we're going to spill the beans here on the air.
Yes.
In fact, we were just listening to that last song, which was recorded in London at Abbey Road Studios. We recorded in Abbey Road Studio 3.
In 2022.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And while we were there, we recorded an album. We love how it sounds, and we thought to ourselves,
we're like literally using the same keyboards, the same organ, the same microphones the Beatles used. Is it cliche to like record a Beatles
song? That was like the question, like day two. Yeah. We were like, you sort of have to record a Beatles song, right? And we're like, is it cheesy?
And we've been doing it on tour for years, and so it seemed natural, and we were touring with Al Stewart, and he was like, you have to.
I mean, Al had recorded all three of his main albums in the studio. He's like, you have to. So we recorded Oh Darlin', Erica singing the vocal at Abbey Road, from Abbey Road, and we're releasing it on the 18th of June. We're so excited.
It's Paul's birthday that day, and so we're hoping he like, you know, maybe he's like for
a
birthday present.
Call.
Paul McCartney, well, at least he'll know you're out there.
At least he'll text.
Yes, because with the internet, you know,
he'll hear about it, right?
So, and I know we've talked a little bit about this before, but what was that experience like? That not just recording at Abbey Road, but doing one of the iconic songs, on one hand, very cool, on the other hand, intimidating. What was going through your heads?
Ooh.
You had the, feel like, Ari, you had the bulk of the intimidation part. Like, we recorded the, there's no overdubs in the track or anything. It was just a live recording, and there's either zero overdub except for the vocal. But then you went and recorded the vocal where it slows down a little bit. The whole process when you record a vocal slows down.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on that 1959 Telefunken, that stamped EMI Studios, which is what it was called when the Beatles recorded there. And the engineer kind of casually throws out, oh, this is the mic that Paul McCartney recorded this song on.
Would you like to be run through the same compressors?
His limiter and
okay. I said, well, that sounds fun. Let's.
Was that intimidating?
Yes, let's do that. It was intimidating, but it was also just like Christmas on steroids, times your wedding day plus.
You know what's cool about
Abbey Road is
it's like there's the museum quality, like the Disney quality of if you're a Beatles fan and a music fan, like, oh my God, Dark Side of the Moon was recorded in this room and stuff like that.
Ticket to Ride.
But it's still the best recording facility in the world
and
today.
And they know it, and they treat it like that way.
Yeah. Oh. And so the intimidation, I think, goes down as you're like, wow, they're just really, really good at their job, and everything in the whole facility is so well thought out.
And taken care of, and beautifully maintained.
Well, I'm curious, with the microphone, do they keep it is separated.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I'm asking, because I know at Capitol Studios in Hollywood, Sinatra's mic is kept in a separate place, and if you want to use Sinatra's mic, you have to jump through different hoops to be able to record with that.
All the gear at Abbey Road is by request only, and they have a long-standing... This is amazing, actually. Great question.
It's basically like a warehouse vault.
Yeah,
and
but they have an amazing long-standing philosophy of first come, first serve, because there's a lot of bands who go in there, and you could fight over, right? So we got everything. I requested everything months in advance. We got the piano. That's Martha, my dear. We got the organ. That's on Let It Be. We got the Rhodes.
That's what you just heard on the radio. That's that organ.
That's that organ. And so, apparently... If you look at the paperwork from the 60s, the Beatles and Pink Floyd went back and forth on stuff like the Mellotron. And you can look at the receipts and see that they each requested it like day. And they don't even use it.
They're like fighting over it. They just want it.
Because it's a long, it's a first come, first serve policy.
And one of the other cool things is that because they care so much about the integrity of the gear and preserving it for a long period of time, there's a technician that I swear... The way I envision it is he's in a dark, damp basement. And it doesn't see the light of day. And there's just tools everywhere. And
he's got a clipboard and he writes down the names of the people who requested
things. Competition for our 2 days at Abbey Road was a 80-piece orchestra recording the background tracks to the new Star Wars video game that came out last year.
And you could like crack the door open and like listen to them doing the entire orchestration with the symphony.
And it sounded great, but they didn't care about that microphone. They didn't care about the piano. They didn't care about the roads. So we just got it all.
Whatever we wanted.
And we got there. I couldn't believe it. We got there the first morning. It was all set up already.
Yeah.
We were like, wow. Oh.
And performing on his microphone, like I remember thinking to myself, you know, I've heard the stories of Paul recording that vocal and wanting it to sound gritty and like running around the whole building screaming his face off so that by the time he gets to the recording process, his vocal is in the shape he'd like it to be.
And Erica like wasn't feeling that well.
I was tired and my voice was not maybe at its like 100%. But something about like the magic and the energy of that space and knowing that I was gonna give it Paul McCartney's best. Like I was raw and ready to rumble.
There's definitely a chicken or the egg thing happening. Like, did the Beatles and all the amazing acts that came through that studio create it and make it magical? Or was it already magical?
Or is it
that
a combo?
One of the reasons it all worked?
That's wild.
I love that place.
It was nuts.
I want to go back. Let's
How
go back.
How fun. I want to go too now. I want to go. Gosh, I've got to get there. It's on my bucket list now.
It's really cool.
You should do a tour where you invite people.
We're on it. I want
to
do it.
Come and join you as you're going to be recording there, and you sell tickets.
We go over to Penny Lane, and we go to the Cavern Club.
We did the Liverpool run, which you could do in like 4 or 5 hours, see all the Beatles houses.
Yeah, we took ourselves in our van.
I want to do all of it. A Beatles tour.
Did you do the Abbey Road crossing the street?
That's the only thing
you didn't
do.
You know, guys, it was too cool to walk in. Like, we didn't need to do it.
Oh, okay.
Like, we walked right in.
Through people who were, like, kind of trying to get in the gates, and they looked at us like, is that Oasis? Who is that?
who are those famous people? Yeah.
We're like, yes, we are Oasis.
But you didn't walk across the road.
No,
that's
interesting. Maybe next time.
Because my favorite new t-shirt is the Peanuts characters walking across.
Yeah. They call it, everybody in the neighborhood, they all call it the zebra crossing.
The zebra crossing,
but in the British accent. The zebra.
The zebra.
I like that.
Well, we have the empty pockets with us in studio, Josh and Erica. I said half of the empty pockets because there are two other guys, Adam and Nate.
Hi, Adam and Nate.
Yeah, but we're going to come right back with them. They're with us in studio, so stay with us here on WGN.
She's going to scream. I know she is. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
This is a first.
Josh and Erica from the Empty Pockets in the studio with us. A world premiere?
Yes.
Did you have any voice left after you did that?
Yes. I'm hoping you liked what you heard.
Yeah. Loved it. Are you kidding?
Okay, good.
Yeah. I got goosebumps.
Good. I'm so glad. Yeah, it was, I just pushed it all out there. I definitely did.
Was that the last thing you recorded that day?
Yes.
Yeah. We only had one day off, and then we had to go back on tour in the UK for like one more week. But you did it.
You were there when you were traveling with Al Stewart.
That's right.
It was in the middle of like a month-long tour.
Well, this year has been amazing for you guys, too. I mean, you've been incredibly busy.
It's crazy.
That's why I said, I can't believe we actually got you in studio because you're just catching your breath.
Well, let me hit the pause button for a second. Well, we just played a world premiere, Empty Pockets, Oh Darlin', will be officially released and available
on June 18th. That's Paul McCartney's 82nd birthday. Can you believe he's 82?
Yeah. Hard to believe.
Looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be out everywhere. The music video, every streaming service.
Oh, the video's like awesome. To do
it. Yeah, it looks really
Thank
nice.
Thank you. I produce it and edit it myself.
You did.
Yeah.
We're very independent.
And best place for people to buy it would be?
Be iTunes or Amazon. It's a digital-only release. We haven't announced the physical version yet, which will be on a vinyl later this year.
Go stream it.
Yes,
stream it up. Give it a Spotify, give it an
Don't
Amazon
worry, we'll
music.
Ask everybody to buy it on a deluxe vinyl in the fall.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
But for
good.
Now, it's going to be digital only. And you could buy it on iTunes and Amazon, too.
Is that one of those songs, particularly as you get to the bridge in that, where anytime you're singing, certainly you want to get the notes right, but do you get to a point where you're just feeling that song?
There's something about that bridge. It's funny you mentioned that, because yes, there's normally you get to a part of the song like that and you'd sort of mentally and emotionally gear up for it. There's something about the way that that bridge, the melody flows and just pours out of my body. That's like a next level exorcism. I can't really explain it. It doesn't take a lot of energy for me. It just kind of like soars out and I feel great singing it.
It's a cool song. I think it's like, you know, in the Beatles' early career, they put a cover or two on most of their albums, and it was a lot of, you know, Please Mr. Postman, sort of like based on American early R&B. And to me, this is like the Beatles sort of, most of their career is done, and this is their version of that, you know, where they're with all of their skills that they've learned, like this is our... You know, our American R&B tune. Because it's kind of a simple tune.
It's bluesy.
In some ways, compared to a lot of
blues. Well, the way you sing it is incredibly bluesy.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Before we get too carried away, should we shut up for a second and ask anything you guys want to do?
Well, let's keep celebrating our the Fab Four a little bit. We talk about Abbey Road. Yeah. This is a very sweet, sweet Beatles song.
How long I've loved you, you know I loved you still. Will I wait a lonely lifetime? If you want me to, I will. For if I ever saw you, I didn't catch your name. But it never really mattered. I will always feel the same. Love you forever and forever. Love you with all my heart. Love you whenever we're together. Love you when we're apart. For when at last I find you, your song will fill the air. Sing it loud so I can hear you. Make it easy to be near you. For the things you do endear me to you. Ah, you know I will. Ah, you know I will.
Wonderful.
Wow. I have permanent goose flesh. Permanent. This is crazy. That
they
was
could
beautiful.
Write a song, those Beatles. They
oh
could
my
write
gosh.
A song.
So at my wedding, will you please sing that song?
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Like at our 50th, right? Yeah. See, when we have that big party.
Yeah.
That is such a romantic song,
it
too.
Really is.
Oh I like singing
gosh.
That one to him.
I like seeing you two
I like
sing
us
it.
Singing it together.
Yes.
It's more romantic than John and Paul.
Well, I
yes,
had a couple reactions to you guys singing that. One, I loved it. Two, that's the perfect example of going back to the roots of the Beatles' Everly Brothers.
Oh, can you hear
yes,
it? Harmony.
Yes.
Can you just
yeah.
hear it?
Yes.
Oh, I could just hear it.
That's
yeah.
oh,
so right.
Man.
But it's really sweet watching you sing it together.
Oh, thank you.
I hope you do that in concert, too.
Yeah, we do it from time
we
to time.
We should do
yeah.
it more, I guess.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
then people say, they like each other. Right? It's obvious.
We get a lot of, like, sometimes if you could see the audience in a concert, maybe a song or two in, if we haven't said anything, you get a woman. I'll be like, hey, this is my wife, Erica. And you'll get a woman tapping a man and being like, I told you.
yeah.
I told
totally.
You.
yes. I knew it.
No, like, why is he in trouble?
right.
well, they do. They come up to us at the merch table and they're like, I told my husband. I told him.
It's like, you were right, but I don't know why.
I don't know why it's okay. It's all right. You didn't have
oh
to guess.
Oh, my gosh. Empty Pockets with us in studio. They've got a bunch of shows coming up. We're going to tell you specifically about one that's going to be close to home on the 21st of June. So stay with us. We've got more with the Empty Pockets. And by the way, you can go to theemptypockets.com or you can click to their page from our Facebook page. So if you're there, go right ahead. And you can send us a text. A listener from South Dakota said he's listening at an old-fashioned Marantz. Receiver tonight.
Cool.
yes. Stay with us here on WGN.
Stay back. I'm out of control. I'm like an animal. Late night. I need to let go. I gotta find the moon.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. That's the title song from the album, Gotta Find the Moon.
Yes, yes.
By the Empty Pockets. Two of them are in the studio with us. The other pockets are...
They're not so empty tonight, right?
Yeah, they're hanging out at home someplace.
We got Josh and Erica in studio with us. I was just reading texts when the microphone got turned on. Love the Empty Pockets. I plan to see them in Skokie.
Yay.
A couple of people have you on their Skokie calendar.
Excellent.
Yes. And so we should take a moment and explain to the kids that on the 21st of June, you are going to be, are you the 21st or 22nd?
We are the 21st.
Friday night.
Right. Friday
I
night.
I think this is Skokie's first, like, real music festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's at North Shore Center of the Performing Arts. It's called Off North Shore.
The lineup is amazing.
Yeah, really wonderful lineup. Larkin Poe, who won the Grammy mm-hmm. For Best Contemporary Blues Album this
we
year.
We love them. They're
really
so
good. Two oh. sisters, awesome blues yeah. band, and they're co-headlining with Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs, which is Tom Petty's longtime guitar player. He's mm-hmm. a heartbreaker, both figuratively and literally, Mike Campbell. And we're just so proud to be on that bill.
Yeah. Grace Potter?
Yeah, Grace
Potter. Wow.
Second, J.C. Brooks, Donovan yeah. Frankenfurter. I mean, it's a very... Merrill over at North Shore has put together a really... He's trying to bring, I think, the North Shore Performing Arts Center like kind of into the next
yeah.
era. And I think it's
yeah,
a
that's
great
a
spot.
Wonderful venue.
It
awesome
is.
Place.
I think the last show we saw there was John
Pizzarelli.
Pizzarelli.
Oh,
yes.
cool.
And the acoustics were wonderful.
Yeah,
in
yeah
there.
They're really moving towards like really wonderfully curated rock and roll, jazz, all different kinds of music.
It's a cool suburb. Like this, North Shore Center, if you don't know where it is, it's really across the street. It's like kitty corner from Old Orchard.
Exactly. Westfield.
Which I just read is like one of the most successful shopping malls post COVID.
Yeah, we basically reference
it. It's a great mall.
It's in Mean Girls, Josh.
It's in Mean Girls.
I mean, that's right. Indoor mall. It's very important.
Always drives me crazy in Mean Girls. Like, you're at Old Orchard and indoor malls is crazy.
It's very important.
Skokie's a great place to visit, you know, like it's one of the first suburban highway exits. Like, mm-hmm. Get on down to Skokie, see some empty pockets.
And we're a little partial because, you know, Will's Place is there. And, you know, if you're in Skokie, you might as well go get a cookie at Will's Place.
And by the way, I love the shout out that you guys at Will's Place gave to my favorite comic store, Oh Yeah Comics, because they let you put all the additional tables out.
Like, what a good neighbor, right?
Let's explain Will's Place for a second for anybody who doesn't
know. My brother, William, he just turned 23. It was his birthday. Happy birthday, Will.
Yeah.
Just turned 23. He's an adult with disabilities. He was adopted from Vietnam. He had a couple of strokes when he was a little baby before we got him, and he'll never speak. He doesn't talk, which is kind of a major disability. And as Will turned 22... my mom started getting really nervous about, like, what's he going to do as government services run out here?
And he'd been pretty successful so far, given what's gone on. I mean,
he just loved cooking, but it's not easy to have a job, and he just wasn't a very natural, like, bagger at a grocery store.
Right.
So we started a nonprofit. My mom and my Aunt Kathy called Will's Place, which is a cafe in Skokie. It's on Lincoln Avenue.
It's lovely.
And it's
delicious.
Mission is to give meaningful employment to adults with disabilities.
There's about 21 of them.
There are 21 right now. And there are some other places like this around the country. Mm-hmm. But every major city even doesn't have one. And
like, they're literally becoming pastry chefs. And when I say, like, pastry chefs, we're not cutting corners. These adults are finding unbelievable talents that they didn't even know that they had, and they're able to cultivate that and grow there, and it's been so cool.
It's been open almost a year, and it's fun to watch it resonate nationally. Like, mm-hmm. I was saying, there are places like this around the country, but not many, way less than 50, for instance.
Yes.
And so we're in many cities. We get fans coming up to us saying, oh my gosh, I got to visit Will's Place in Chicago, and I got to, you know, get one open here, or we've met other adults with disabilities in audiences that are talking about Will's Place. We're so proud of it.
We're watching it change families. We're watching it change the community, it's like the coolest.
I love the slogan, too.
If you haven't been to Skokie in a while, Will's Place is literally right across the street from the Skokie Theater.
Yes. Right. Very easy to get to. The slogan is, where there's a will, there's a way.
I love that.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, he was the homecoming king.
Yeah, he was at Niles, And he's a great host. I mean, technology is amazing. When you walk up to the register, he, through technology, can speak to you
and
ask you what you want. Yeah. Do you want cream in your coffee? And
it's beautiful, man. He's not the only nonverbal person that's worked there. And then I've watched, you know, young 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds with Down syndrome or with autism order something and then look up at their mom or dad and say, can I work here one day? I just love that representation. You're picturing your life in a different way. So obviously I went to high school in Skokie. We got a lot of love for Skokie. So, get a sandwich from Will's Place and then come on over to North Shore. Do both in one day.
Like, just spend the day with us in Skokie.
Yes. And thanks to Skokie, too, for doing what they did to make Will's Place a reality, too.
Yeah, and they're because trying hard to
perfect location
downtown.
Yes.
You know, it really looks great. Like, it's worth checking it out.
Their support has been real and awesome.
Absolutely. By the way, you can get tickets if you go to the Empty Pockets and you click on their tour schedule. It will take you right there to get your tickets for Friday night to see the Empty Pockets in this great lineup.
I think there's a joint ticket you can get. I mean, don't miss Grace Potter.
Get 2 days.
Two days, baby.
Yeah, very good. All of that information is on their side. That takes you to the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. Great location. If you've never been, it's very comfortable. You don't have to stand for the concert. You're going to sit in a comfortable seat. It's going to be air conditioned, so it can be very hot and it can rain. Yeah. Who cares if it rains?
Because
the last time we saw you guys in Skokie, it was raining.
Yep.
Yes.
Again, I'm going to hit the pause button and say we should shut up. And what do you guys want to do? But before you do something, let me hear a little bit of your guitar for a second. Aha! There you are.
Hello. Thanks to Adam Phillips for bringing in
Thank
another
you, Adam.
Microphone.
Yay.
Great crew here always. I think of Will's Place when I think of this song, it's about being strong and overcoming. It's actually called
I Am Strong.
Now I know what it means to be a man is just a notion. Walk the roads I've been blown by the wind across the ocean. Now I find the path that lies before me's of my choosing. It's by design.
It's by design
to break through the resistance and the bruising. When all life's problems come knocking at my door, and you think I'm too weak to handle anymore, you can watch me get up off the floor. Yeah,
I just keep rolling.
I am strong. Now I know what it means to be a person in survival. I walk the roads. Yes, I've discovered self again in this revival. Now I find my destiny is tied to yours forever. It's by design.
It's by design.
Oh, I will follow you, my days ending never. When all life's problems come knocking at my door, and you think I'm too weak to handle anymore, you can watch me get up off the floor. Yeah,
I just keep rolling.
I am strong.
Anymore, you can watch me get up off the floor. Yeah,
I just keep rolling on. When all life's problems come knocking at my door, and you think I'm too weak to handle anymore, you can watch me get up off the floor. Yeah,
I just keep rolling on.
I am strong.
Ooh.
Wow.
I want to jump up and yeah.
Oh.
That was so good. Thanks, gosh. Nice. What a treat. I'm afraid you're going to look over and catch a glimpse of me going, oh, with my mouth hanging open as you're singing. You are so good together. Oh, it's just magical.
Thank you.
Just before we break, guitar geek question. For the guitar geeks in the class, tell us about that guitar you got.
Oh, our wonderful manager, David Spiro, who's just a Cleveland guy and so super well-connected. This is kind of crazy. He was gifted a guitar. And he gifted it to me. It's a re-gift, except he got the gift from Jackson Brown.
His friend.
And so this is like a serial numberless Gibson.
Wow.
Which is very rare. It's a prototype. This is the Jackson Brown Parlor Series prototype.
It's little.
It has a lot of sound.
It's warm.
Prototype number 5.
Yeah. Isn't it warm? Wow.
It's very wonderful. Warm and very big to be a parlor size guitar.
Yeah, but it's nice because I got kind of little. I got kind of little arms, so I get sick of.
We've said that about you. We're like that guy's kind of like a T-Rex.
Play too much guitar.
No one's ever said that about Josh. Just to clarify.
No, we're on the radio. Now everybody thinks that I got half arm. I meant just not.
Can you imagine what kind of a guitar player you'd be?
I think people should be really impressed. I'm playing the guitar this well with my little T-Rex arms, barely getting around the top here. Had to develop my own technique.
That's what I mean. You're like, you're the T-Rex Emmanuel.
The guitar.
Anyone?
Who needs Tommy Emmanuel and the T-Rex?
Anyone?
That's good.
We have to shut up and talk. And,
we have to do a show. Come on, you guys.
And we can't say what we were talking about off the air, but we will just say that Empty Pockets have yet another very cool announcement that they're not going to make tonight. But when they can make it,
we got a big year. We got a big year going.
Yeah, I guess you do. All right, let's quickly mention that on the 7th, you're going to be in Independence, Kentucky.
Ooh,
then you're going to Akron, Ohio on the 8th.
Oh, yeah, join us in Akron, Ohio. That's going to be a fun show. Two really good bands playing with us.
And then you've got some travel time, so you can get up to Manitowish Waters, Wisconsin.
If you've not been to the Wisconsin Northern Woods, you should go. Erica went to summer camp
lake
up
life.
There.
Lake life, guys.
The
trees
get bigger.
Yeah, but you know what
Have you guys ever played up in Door County?
Yes. Absolutely.
Love Door County.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think we've played every city in Wisconsin.
Okay.
I would be probably willing accurate. To bet.
And then they're going to zip down to Sherman, Texas for Sherman's Hot Summer Nights with Al Stewart.
Of course.
Now, when you are performing with Al Stewart, you guys do your set.
We do.
And then you back Al up?
We do.
Is that how it
it's
works?
A busy night.
It's very cool.
We do a half hour, then Al does 90.
Yeah. You know what? I think he's incredibly talented. I've loved him since my days as an FM jock when I used to enjoy playing one of his cuts because I could go to the bathroom and get a cup of coffee.
Seven and a half minutes later.
That's right. Yeah. But I really think that you guys with him are just such a perfect.
It is funny. We're 40 years apart.
Yeah.
Al and I are almost exactly 40 years apart.
But it's like a good mix of rock and roll and nerddom.
Yeah.
You know?
When did it get to the point where it felt comfortable? I mean,
It took like a full year.
Because I can imagine initially it was like, oh, how cool, we're touring with Al Stewart. But then at some point it started feeling different. And
yeah, like we're in a
like
band with Al Stewart now, which is weird. But for a while it was like, and it's funny because when you tour with somebody that everybody in Al Stewart show like thinks Al Stewart's like a big deal, obviously, because they're coming to an Al Stewart show. So you're reminded all the time, like, oh, this guy's like a big deal. But Al, he says it's because he's not on any of the album covers that are famous. He's got like four big albums, and his face isn't on any of those
covers. Yeah,
he doesn't like act like other famous people.
Yeah, he kind of flies under the radar, and he's lovely to be around.
You know, it's funny. Like our initial tour with Al Stewart was almost 10 years ago. It was with this guy, rest in peace, Gary Wright, and they both kind of like, in a professional way, like ignored us.
Yeah.
You know, like you kind of do your thing and
they're
do their
thing. We'll rehearse with you and we'll play a show with you and then good luck.
And it took a while. I think the first thing that really turned it to like human and not professional was like Nate and I or Eric and I were like quoting Spinal Tap, like being idiots.
Oh.
Being like, it's a joke. You know, or maybe Nate and Adam and I were being like, what do they sing at the grave? They go to like Elvis's grave. Is this my baby left me? Oh, no, do the harmony. And we were doing something like that.
A new place
and
to
Al
dwell.
Knows every line from Spinal Tap.
Really?
And so it was like we started laughing with each other and making jokes, and it got a lot more comfortable from there.
Yeah, because now we're legitimately friends.
Well, yeah, and then he realized you're not just a bunch of kids playing music.
Yeah, now it's funny. It's like being in a band with someone.
Yeah.
Except that guy like has platinum records. So like,
and for people who don't remember, Al Stewart, the year of the cat.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we like to talk about various rock and roll things. Like one of them is like great first line of a song.
Okay.
And
oh,
there's
that's
a lot
a good
of
one.
Them. I mean, Stairway to Heaven is a great first line. There's a lady who knows all that glitters is gold.
But that's from the morning of a Bogart movie pretty great.
On the morning of a Bogart movie.
It's a great line.
In a country where they turn back time.
Yeah.
You go running through the crowd just like Peter Lorre contemplating a crime. That's a pretty good line.
That is
a
good line.
Very interesting lyric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's taught us a lot. In fact, as we're writing and we released this album you guys played from, Gotta Find the Moon, you can hear songs in it that there's no way we write without touring with Al.
Interesting. Yeah. So you are still finding time with your busy schedule to write, to say, we're going to write.
We are writing
good,
a lot.
Good. Can you write on the road? Do you find?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, especially if something's inspiring, like you know, we all write together. The whole band writes together. Erica sent me an article. Like, this is a great Al Stewart example. Erica sent me an article of this crazy thing that happened. It was like 1890.
There's a woman named Dolly from Milwaukee.
A woman named Dolly.
And Dolly was married. But Dolly
loved
men. She loved men.
Especially young men.
And a technician came to fix the washing machine.
17-year-old
boy.
She
fell in love with him, swooped him up, had him live in her attic.
For many years. The family moved to Los Angeles. She moved the guy in the attic to the other attic. Got found out. The guy kills Dolly's husband.
He goes to jail.
Dolly never goes to jail.
She's exonerated, and she continues to live kind of like a socialite life.
And they call her the Queen of L.A.
The Queen of L.A. She's a fascinating
character.
So we
wrote a song about that, and there's no way we write a song about that without Al.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, look up that.
Where's the movie on this woman?
It's unbelievable, and she's just a wild character.
And that's this is so Al Stewart. Like, he taught us that there's value there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a... There's a
more than unrequited love and requited love.
There's crazy love.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Yes. So, wow. Well, again, you can follow them because you can see Kentucky and Ohio and Wisconsin and Texas and Skokie.
No matter where you
are. And then Cambridge, Illinois at the end of June.
That's Quad Cities.
Look, if you're on the map, we're probably coming.
That's right.
I'm not going to guarantee you it's right, you know, in an order that makes any sense, but we will find you.
That's how we do it. And then after Cambridge.
It just depends on how the dart lands.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, right.
We're hitting Vinton, Iowa. That's the middle of Iowa. We're hitting Minneapolis.
Yeah,
we're all over the place.
We're coming to you.
Going back to Ann Arbor, Kent, Ohio. Heck yeah.
I think you're even kind of overwhelmed by the fact, wow.
Where are we going to be?
Yeah. What day is it?
He's naming cities, and I'm like, oh my God.
I'm going there.
Committed to that?
Wow.
You tell us. We'd like to con you into at least one more song. You want to do something short, or
we'll
you want to stick around? Or do you want to stick around?
You can stick around, too.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll stick around.
Okay, good.
All right.
For people who might be new to you guys,
yes.
You are in fact married. You are your local kids,
yes.
Born and raised in this area, and you met on stage.
We met on stage. We were doing in Oak Park, Illinois, mm-hmm. on Madison. We were doing the Buddy Holly story.
A musical.
And you were Buddy Holly.
I was playing Buddy Holly. Nate, still in the band, was playing the bass player. Erica was understudying Maria Elena, and I wrote it into a song.
I was dancing a lot.
The line I wrote into the song was, "You rolled your eyes and walked by. I was 20. You were older than me.
24.
And you would not pay attention to me one bit." I was trying to get her to pay attention to me, but she would not.
I have so many things to say, but we're on the radio.
Now you've been married 11 years.
You've been married 11 years. This was all 18 years ago.
I really like him still.
Yeah, see?
We spend all of our minutes together. Like, all of the minutes.
You're singing
Same
our
here.
Song.
Yeah, no, I know.
I don't know if we told you. We just hit 40.
Wow.
Yes. Gosh,
and for people like us, that's like 80 because we spent twice as much time together.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's true. I said to Steve, this is like half my life. Oh, it is more than half my life.
But it's because
on it with Erica.
Because it's every meal and it's every travel. And we're every travel and every gig. Yeah. We're in every in studio.
And
we're all doing
this
together.
Adam and our tour manager, Brian, they got to deal with us, but that's the
we
half the price in lodging.
Well, that's true.
You know, just one hotel
room.
Yes,
unless you really get sick of me.
We got the empty pockets. We've locked the doors. A lot of nice feedback from folks at 312-981-7200. Really sweet, beautiful music. They're loving it. This is, one listener said, "This is the great end of my day. It was a very difficult day, so thank you." So please do stay with us here on WGN.
That's all on you. Tributaries broken through, standing in the way. Hear the flood, it's washing out. But everything is all about. Now you'll have to figure out why it all seems so great.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Again, another song we'd like to let play all the way through, but if we do, we wouldn't be able to hear a little more live music from the Empty Pockets in the studio with us, Josh and Erica, and you should check out their website, theemptypockets.com. You can see all of their tour information. You can
buy their music.
Buy their music. You can see biographies. Everything you ever wanted to know about the Empty Pockets.
Okay, but I've got three questions. Is your music still available on vinyl? A listener says, can I get any vinyl from you?
Yeah, we love vinyl. We just signed a deal not that too long ago with like a real distributor for the first time.
So it's in stores.
So our vinyl's in indie record stores.
Maybe not everywhere.
Maybe
but
not everywhere,
yeah.
But we've been selling vinyl. So in fact, that last song that just played was called Outside Spectrum. Playing on Sirius XM, which we love.
We had it pressed here in Chicago.
Smash Plastic. Shout out to Smash
Plastic.
Yeah. They print all our vinyl.
And the record itself is translucent purple.
Yeah, so it very looks cool. Great. Erica designed it. But yeah, please, vinyl is
Cool.
Is one of the lifebloods of the music industry. We joke on stage that the music industry has devolved, the indie music industry has devolved to like a timeshare-esque t-shirt sales business. You know, where it's like, thank you for coming to my presentation.
Will you
I'm going to play a song, and then I'm going to ask you to buy a t-shirt, and then I'm going to play a song.
And then ask you to buy the album.
You should buy a t-shirt.
Isn't one of the sad truths that in today's music climate, artists make more off the sale of stuff like that during a show than they do from Spotify or any of the royalties they get from any of
most
the other places.
Most artists. I think that is probably true for most artists. And so thank goodness for like the Ramones and for Zeppelin and stuff like back in the, we were talking Beatles, right? We were talking 50s.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do band t-shirts. Like it kind of blows
my
mind.
Yeah.
Like there was no such thing as a band t-shirt until like a little indie punk band called the Ramones basically started printing them.
Yeah.
Josh, I was wearing that t-shirt time you ever flirted with me.
I know, it was really impressive. It was like one of the original band shirts.
When are you guys going to write the book? Because there's bunches of stories that inquiring minds need to hear more about.
That's great.
Well, a listener has an inquiring mind about you, Erica. Were you trained classically?
I was. I studied opera at the University of Illinois for a few years, and I also studied a little bit of opera in high school. It's a very intense lifestyle. You learn multiple languages so that you can execute, different types of music. It was not my favorite. I loved it, but I wasn't passionate about it. And I really think to live the opera life, you have to have a very austere, kind of way of living, eating, breathing.
But in college, you learned just as much from your a cappella group, I feel like.
Yeah, well, that's also true. I mean, I did Real Life Pitch Perfect, the movie.
Oh.
What was the group called?
It's called The Ripcords.
The Ripcords, all girls a cappella group in Champaign.
And I would agree with you, Josh. Like, as far as rock and roll music and what I do now is concerned, arranging harmonies, tuning with other people, learning how to sing best in groups and by yourself, all that stuff I think I learned maybe best with my friends.
Everybody's got a job.
Extracurricular.
Extra jobs in the van, musical and non-musical, like Nate's our van guy. Mm-hmm. Erica's our vocal person, and Nate's and my job is to be very grumpy about all of her notes.
When did you guys realize that your harmony was really special?
I don't know, but singing together felt right from the first second it ever happened.
So I mentioned earlier, Eric and I meet. She's like, Sue's so cool. I immediately notice her, but she doesn't think I'm cool.
Unbelievable that you thought I was cool. I'm still shocked.
And one of the first things she said to me was a vocal correction. I was playing this song.
Let's just be honest. What's more important? Love or music?
Why you and I will by and by.
You're doing the vowels the same way?
For true. And so I go, I'm doing this Buddy Holly song, and I go, true love wait.
And she's cringing.
I finish the song, and that's called a diphthong. When you change your vowel like in the middle of it and make that part of it, it's called diphthong. And it's usually like unless you're doing it on purpose, it's like kind of a no-no as a singer.
So you called him on that?
She was like, really beautiful job.
I don't remember, Johnny. I don't remember.
You don't remember this?
I just know that music is important to me.
You don't remember this anecdote?
I don't know.
Are you being serious?
Yeah,
you
don't I don't remember.
Well, That's crazy.
I remember being horrified by your vowel.
Well, she pulled me aside. We weren't friends or anything yet. And she pulled me aside and she's like, really lovely voice you do, and she said you have a nice voice, like
he
she
does.
Like she was begrudgingly admitting it. You know what I mean? All right, kid,
you got a good
eye
voice
roll,
but...
and then you got a nice voice. You can't do this diphthong thing. And basically, she was like, "I'm not going to be in a show with somebody."
No, that is 100%. I was like, "I'm not going to be on stage with a Buddy Holly."
He's going to embarrass
me. Who goes Wahays? I'm just not. I got to help him out. I got to help this guy out.
And I was,
Buddy Holly doesn't go Wahays.
For a moment, I was annoyed, as I still am, always. And then it's the same thing that always has happened. That happened this first time, and then I was like, "Oh." She's right about that, though. And I did do it different, and it was better.
Can you say that she's right about that in the microphone one more time, just so everybody could hear
No,
it?
I don't think you're misremembering.
So which was the dominant moment for you? That you had been corrected musically, or that this sexy teacher was trying to correct you? So which way did you go?
I never thought about it like that, Josh.
It was definitely that she talked to me at all. You know what I mean? Like, it was definitely the second one. And she was. She was like a assistant first grade teacher at the time, too, weren't you?
I do. I was probably teaching.
I was thrilled that she talked to me.
You have to write the book. You really, really, really have to write the book.
That's the title of the book. I was thrilled that she talked to me. And we've been singing together for decades now.
That's true. That is true.
It is funny how stuff like that works.
Yes.
You know, you walk into the rehearsal room the first time. I was playing Buddy Holly, and the musical is called The Buddy Holly Story. You know, you're 20, and you think to yourself, I'm kind of a big deal, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're just so wrong, you know? Like, and anybody who I don't know.
Yeah.
She put me in my place in the best way, and I was very intrigued.
Well, that was... We stepped
and then when
on
she
and,
put on her glasses.
Yes. And put her hair up in a bun. Whoa.
Like those movies where they're like, that girl, she had glasses on and now her hair's down and she's so glamorous.
How did we not know? So we stepped on an elevator together. I did not know him.
Oh, yeah.
And he says,
My opening line to Johnny.
Okay.
Did anyone ever tell you you look just like Jackie DeShannon?
I was like,
oh, I really like her. Thank you.
That's nice.
And I'm thinking, she's blonde. Okay, well, all right. And
hey,
then
it worked.
Your next line was, and you smell really good.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, this
great.
Is a small elevator.
This is too much.
I need to get off now.
So we get off the elevator.
On the same floor. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's following me.
And she's walking down, and I'm following her. And then she goes into the WIND, and I go into WIND.
Oh, I'm like, oh,
and she goes into the office, and I go. We had the same office, and that was our first meeting.
And I think I stood behind the door, and I thought, he's following me. And then I realized, oh, no, wait a minute. He's the midday guy.
That's hilarious. It's not some random guy.
Yes, I know.
The midday guy.
He just told me I smell good.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. Well, we're going to shut up. What do you guys want to do?
Want to do a song?
Yeah, let's do a song about when things are hard, you stick together and find the love.
Yeah, I think there's a reason this song came out after the pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to pause long enough for Julian to get in position because Julian is doing video.
Oh, nice.
Too.
Nice. So,
okay. This is called Make It Through. It's from our album, Gotta Find the Moon.
The green signs are gonna lead us like a greyhound bus to the station. We missed a clue and now we're lost here. And we're nowhere near our destination. I'll be alright with you. Maybe tonight we'll do something so right that will make it through. We change course cause we're not too proud. And we laugh out loud at our mistakes. The night swallows up our headlights. Sudden red lights, you slam the brake. I'll be alright with you. Maybe tonight
we'll do something so right that will make it through. Yeah, we'll find our way. Well, I know before break of day, you'll glow from a spectrum of gray. All the colors flow. You'll glow from a spectrum of gray. All the colors flow. Yeah, I'll be alright with you. Maybe tonight we'll do something so right that will make it through. I'll be alright.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Love you, guys.
Oh, my gosh. That was awesome. Mm. I'm checking see that we've got all the questions answered. Music is available through their website, theemptypockets.com. Oh, Darling will drop on the 18th of June.
And most recent album is?
Gotta Find the Moon. You guys have been playing stuff from it. I love that. Everything's available on our web store. 18th of June, we're dropping the single. 21st of June, we're opening the show. Larkin Poe is headlining.
Mike Campbell.
Meet us in Skokie. And then our August 29, we're going to do the national anthem over at the White Sox game.
Yay. So let's party, guys.
The only unfortunate part about that is it's too late to turn around their season by August 29.
You think?
But because I fixed, and I regret it. I want to do it again, but I regret it. I fixed the Dodgers season.
We went to the Dodgers.
They were terrible.
What? Josh played the national anthem.
I played the national anthem. Ohtani immediately hit a home run, and the Dodgers have been great ever since.
That is a true fact.
That was a great national anthem you did.
It was very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it had to be kind of scary because it was just scary. You with your guitar out there.
At Dodger Stadium.
He's doing it again in a couple weeks for the Cleveland Guardians.
Oh, and I have to include...
He has to include O Canada because they're playing the Toronto Blue Jays.
Really?
So he's been working on
Canada. Don't make that face, though, when you play O Canada.
Yeah, like, I think O Canada...
Make a happy face,
I don't think
Josh.
Either of them are, like, great songs. I don't think, you know, the Star Spangled Banner is not exactly a Beatles tune, but I think O Canada might be a slightly better song. Is that unpatriotic of me to say?
You know what? You didn't say that. We didn't hear it.
No.
Support the troops. We love you, America.
We love you, America.
Great.
Do you get an echo when you're in a park like that?
At the Dodger Stadium, they had thought of everything, and they sent me in direct, and they put in-ears on me, and they said, it's a 2.9-second echo. Don't listen to anything. Put these in-ears on.
When you do it here at Bridgeport...
when we did the Chicago Fire.
At the Chicago Fire game.
It was very confusing. You could hear the
echo. Yeah, bounces back
at you.
Sometimes
it's like multiple
The craziest
seconds.
Thing we did was years ago.
Soldier
we did
Field.
A Special Olympics, Soldier Field.
Sure.
You're saying something, and 7 seconds later...
7 seconds.
It's bouncing at you.
Hello. That's a long
hello. Yeah. And you look really goofy because you're standing there like this look of, that's me.
That's why all the announcers, when they can hear themselves at stadiums, I feel like they always go like, and the next play is, because they're like waiting for it to like come back.
With their finger in their ear.
Yeah, trying to, the delay has to end.
Yeah, it's a strange, stadium
is
weird.
But let's keep doing it.
Well, I mean, I'm all about it, but it's like, a theater is great.
Yeah.
It's better in a stadium.
Honestly, I just want to play wherever you'll have me. So,
but yeah, come to the White Sox game. There's definitely going to be tickets available.
Yeah, come on. Come on out.
Yeah, sadly.
White Sox game.
Outside of Chicago, what's your favorite theater to play?
Ooh, there's some really, really amazing theaters. In Detroit, there's a theater called The Fox.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And legendary.
It's really special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, crazy. On Long Island, there's a theater called Theater at Westbury, and it rotates.
Mm.
Real slow, like. So does the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix, Arizona. Those are some of my favorite places. What about you, Ari?
I'm like literally coming up empty.
Have you guys been around long enough to remember the old mill run with the rotating stage?
Yes, sure. A golf mill.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When did that? Is that 20 years it's been gone?
Oh, at least more than that. Yeah.
Saw B.B. King, Ray Charles.
Wow. And I saw Kenny Rogers, the Gatlin brothers.
Rotating stage is sort of cool. It's interesting. We did. We haven't done it very many times. It's a nightmare, technically.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
You got to send all the cables like through this hole in the middle. It's really complicated.
Don't have vertigo and play a stage like that because you look down at your instrument and you look back up and it's a different group of people. and it really messes with
you. It's really weird. The first time, remember, my sister came years ago. It's the first day we met my brother-in-law, and it was at Theater at Westbury opening for George Lopez. And I like waved at her, and then we did a song, and you go try to find. And you have no idea where anyone is anymore.
You can't get centered, literally.
Did you guys ever experience the Holiday Inn rotating restaurant on the top of the Holiday Inn?
No, but I can tell you that the band for years has maintained that the Holiday Inn Express is our favorite hotel chain. And so if someone is listening, please endorse us today.
It might be the best bang for your buck and most consistent.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Great pillows, very clean.
Specifically, the Express.
Yeah,
I love
Interesting.
It.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what we can do about that. I used to work as a waitress in the rotating.
Did you really?
Yeah,
and that was
very unsettling
rotate,
too.
I'd never been.
Yes, and you walk out with your food, and you're like, "Whoa, wait, that building wasn't
there." Did it
feel
weird, like a cruise ship?
No, because it was very slow.
It was very slow.
Yeah. In fact, there would be customers saying, can we speed this up?
Oh, yeah.
I'm only here for an hour.
Oh, yeah. People, you're in charge of the speed. Yeah, that makes sense. Sure.
But was that before or after you did Rick's Cafe American with all the jazz
I decided
groups?
The money was downstairs at Rick's Cafe American.
Oh, you know what theater I just thought of? The Riverside Theater in Milwaukee is really cool, and it kind of feels haunted, and then all the crew will tell you it's definitely haunted.
Well, the Pabst is also.
Have you guys ever been to the Pabst
Theater? It's like all one group.
Like the hotel and everything.
You know what's cool about those places, too? They have a barista in the green room for
the artists. That's fancy.
Wow.
That's not
Now, you guys have posted some amazing pictures over in Europe of theaters that you're in. These elaborate.
Yeah, the downside of all the Europe theaters is it's the same as the upside.
They're old.
They're crazy old.
But okay. Beatles venues, guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
we played
that's
Birmingham
crazy.
Town Hall where the Beatles played. We played Stroud, which is where the Beatles played, and their drummer was Pete Best.
You guys.
I mean, like, what? They have the plaque up and everything. Yeah. The Beatles played in 1962, and then we played in 2022.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's great. We're going to let you kids get out of here.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you. We love you. It's just
a
thrill.
This is so much fun. Go to theemptypockets.com, and we will post all kind of links on our Facebook page and on our blog.
Yes, and Independence, Kentucky, they're coming your way.
Whoa.
This week, the 7th of June, they're going to be there in Akron, Ohio. In fact, we've got a couple of listeners that tuned in from Akron tonight and from Cleveland.
Come on out, Cleveland. Come on out, Akron.
This is the Superculture with Superculture and Apostle Jones at the Rialto Theater in Akron. Well, again, thank you, guys. Thank you for your music. It's just a joy to have you in studio with us, and just stay in touch.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for your
thank
friendship.
Thank you both. You're the best.
Take care.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Well, how sweet. Ron Brown, calling in a night, stuck his head into the studio to say, boy, I was smiling for the last hour and a half that the Empty Pockets were in studio. At the Steve and Johnny Facebook page, the Steve and Johnny Show Facebook page, it's a picture of Erica and Josh in action. And there's just so much fun to watch as they're performing, too, because they perform so beautifully together with their harmony and just to have the best seat in the house. We're very lucky. Text coming in from 312-981-7200. Hello from Elburn. Enjoying the show. A listener in 847 area code said, I saw them in the Buddy Holly story. They were great. 630 area code. Oh my God. Wow. Empty Pockets. So beautiful, soothing, comforting, and awesome. Another listener text from an 847 saying, this is a heck of a great way to end what has been a terrible, terrible day. So I'm glad we're here for you. Now that
did you see
Walking our guests to the door, were you?
Well, there was that, and Josh and I had to talk a little more guitar stuff.
Yeah.
But did you see what they did just before we went on?
No.
She leaned over, and she gave him a peck on the cheek.
No. Oh.
I mean, they're
so
just terrific people.
Yes, they are. And I was talking because, you know, hey, the show must go on. And I figured you were out there playing his guitar, his very cool prototype Jackson Browne guitar.
I did get him to promise to bring it over when they
come to the house.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, today is a very interesting day in the history of this here radio station. Julian, I'm curious, did you know that today is a significant day?
No, tell me.
I will tell you.
Because, and I will back up and say, you remember a couple of years ago, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the start of what became WGN Radio. But
right.
At the time it started, it was technically not under the call letters WGN.
It was WDAP.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 100 years ago today that we officially became WGN. 100 years ago today, Colonel Robert R. McCormick, who obtained the call letters WGN from Great Lakes skipper Carl D. Bradley.
And it stood for the world's greatest newspaper.
The colonel assumed control of Zenith Edgewater Beach Hotel's radio station, WJAZ, and for the first time, the familiar call sign representing the world's greatest newspaper was heard on March 29th of 1924. A little more than 2 months later, McCormick and the Tribune would end their association with the Zenith Edgewater Beach Hotel station and instead partner with WDAP, the station that was founded May 19th of 1922 by Thorne Donnelly. Isn't that a cool name? Thorne Donnelly.
And, sounds like a detective.
Or somebody in a soap opera. And Elliot Jenkins. So on this day, 100 years ago, June 1st, 1924, WDAP became WGN, and the rest is history, as they say.
That's the first time these call letters were heard.
Right.
And many, many years ago, that's how we first met Bob Young.
Mm-hmm. The guy that does our theme song that kicks off our show every Saturday night.
Didn't he first send a copy of the WGN song into Bob Collins?
He did, and that's where I first heard it, because I was working on the Bob Collins morning show at that time. I was traffic reporter and trivia maven, and I washed his car. I mean,
yeah.
Come on. Bob Young, who was a very, very popular local singer-songwriter, he did the whole wedding circuit, and he was a big fan of this radio station, huge fan, number one fan, in fact, and he wrote this little ditty called the WGN Song, and he sent it to Bob Collins, and Bob knew Bob Young, so he just said, just drop the needle on it, I want to hear this on the air. So he had not heard it before he played it on the radio. We were all moved to tears.
Yeah.
Everybody on the morning show was like, oh my gosh. So we thought, since this is the 100th anniversary of this radio station officially becoming WGN, just in case you've never heard the WGN song by singer-songwriter Bob Young, what more appropriate time to play it than tonight?
Chicago. My kids were born here too. My mom and dad got married here right after World War II. I grew up on the radio. It was always at my side. The first thing in the morning, the last thing late at night. 'Cause when I need some comfort, the sound that says Chicago is WGN. It follows me when I'm away, and it leads me back again. like home is WGN. Now the years roll on and my daddy's gone, but the memories remain. And my son, you see, he's just like me, and some things never change. 'Cause when he needs some comfort, when he needs a friend, there's a sound that still sounds just like home, WGN. Three letters mean Chicago,
man.
Yeah, that still gets me all these years later.
It does. And that was Bob's life. He was raised on this radio station, but he had such a wonderful way of expressing feelings. And
well, and we should mention, too, everything you hear was Bob Young.
Yes, all of the instruments.
He did
everything.
Everything there. He wrote it, he played it, he sang it.
And didn't he do it all in his bedroom?
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing. And he didn't have a zillion dollars worth of equipment, but he played all the different parts, mm-hmm. and then he tracked it and just did a beautiful job. And it was just a great relationship that we all had with him, yeah. because then he came out and did Taste of Chicago with us. And then we had some...
When we did Tornado Aid.
Tornado Aid. He was there, rushed from one gig and did a stint at Tornado Aid with you, and then had to leave to go to another
yeah.
wedding reception that he was performing at. And sadly, we lost him. He was way, way too young yeah. and so incredibly talented. And oftentimes people say, well, what happened to his music? Well, some of it's still floating around. You can Google his name and you will find some of his tunes.
In fact, didn't we hear from somebody within the past year that said they were trying to do something to...
He said they had his catalog.
Yeah.
And I think we probably have everything he's ever done.
Well, and we have some things that no one has ever heard because he would send us demo things.
Yes. And say, what do you think?
Yeah.
Which was really an honor for him to do that. But he was a great friend to our show.
And he was one of those guys, just as Bob Collins trusted being able to drop the needle on that and not worry about it. Anytime Bob Young would bring something in to us, mm-hmm. we knew it mm-hmm. would be
yeah.
not only a good song, but we wouldn't have any problems with lyrics or anything like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What and a usually talent.
We would back up and go, wow. And then, of course, he did some wonderful, wacky songs like The Thrilla from Lake Villa and The Yacht Lyle Dean.
Harrington from Barrington.
Harrington from Barrington, yes. Some good
and he
stuff.
Did our website Wednesday night themes.
He did, yes. And then now...
And the show intro that we use each Saturday night, that's Bob Young.
Mm-hmm. And we have to play that because invariably if we decide to mix it up, somebody will say, no, no, it's mm-hmm. not right in our world if we don't hear the Steve and Johnny song. And he always said it has to be Steve and Johnny, Johnny and Steve, which I really appreciated
yep.
too. So, again, you can find his music if you just Google his name, Bob Young.
I think you can still get copies of the American Stories album.
I just sent a link from... someplace, was it Amazon or eBay that I found a couple of his albums and a listener really wanted the American mm-hmm. Stories, and I sent that link out to a listener.
Now, we do have a bunch of the American Stories albums.
We do.
Yeah.
We should.
Because Phil Vaughn, who was the head of the record company that put out American Stories and also put out our Life After Dark CD...
Right.
Phil, shortly before he passed away, we didn't know the reason at the time, but he sent us a bunch of CDs. So we
boxes.
Have, yeah.
Of the Buckinghams, because he was producing the Buckinghams
yep.
at that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Buckinghams, Bob Young, and our Life After Dark CD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back. Remember, coming up in the midnight hour this week, it's Tech Week, and we will have Patrick Crispin with us to talk about some crazy stuff, including that story that you've been hearing tonight about Ticketmaster and that hack. Did I hear or figure that they're trying to sell the information for like $500,000?
Yeah,
that seems like chump change.
Nothing.
What? The kind of information.
You think if they were going to do a hack, they would ask for
millions. Yeah. It's all very, very strange and confusing, but I'll get my mind together and we'll come back after this.
With your lips touching his face, can't you see I'm longing to be in his place? Won't you change partners and dance with me?
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
To sit this one out.
Sinatra.
Uh-huh.
Title song from his Dance With Me album.
What inspired that, Julian, since it's a dealer's choice?
Well, I had been thinking about a couple of couples in here, and I thought, let's do a little partners song. So that was Change Partners featuring Antonio Carlos Jobim on guitar.
Oh, nice.
Actually, there is another great song from that album. I'm trying to think which one.
Antonio's last name is what?
Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Jobim.
Yeah.
Sounds better when Julian says it. I'm sorry.
Oh, bleep. I'm drawing nothing. And it's a great song. Well, if I think of it, I'll shout it out.
Yeah.
But we should mention, too, that tonight is the last night for the Sinatra Hours. And I've always been a Frank Sinatra fan. And
you have been.
And Dave Plyer has done a wonderful job for, how many years has it been? All the years that the Sinatra Hours has been on, but
didn't John Williams do the Sinatra Hour before?
He did it initially, and then Dave Plyer took it over. And tonight is going to be the last official night for the Sinatra Hours after we get off at 2 o'clock. And starting next week, I love this, and we'll talk about this a little later tonight. Wolfman Jack.
I know people are going, what?
Wolfman Jack, for many years, did a syndicated weekend show. And basically, that's what this will be. It's the from the Wolfman Jack archives, and it's going to be great stuff. And again, we'll talk more about Wolfman a little later, but it's going to be some good stuff starting next week.
Starting next week, yes. Starting at 2 o'clock in the morning next week, no more Sinatra. It will be... as you say, from the archives, do we know who takes care of the Wolfman Jack?
I think it's just his estate. I think it's some of the members from his family, I believe. And
smart people to reissue this material from, because it's there. It is available, sitting in a warehouse somewhere. Thousands of hours of programming.
Julian, does Wolfman Jack mean anything to you?
Not until recently.
Okay. Well, should we get into it now, or should we?
Oh, we've got more time to talk about it a little bit later. Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of things we want to tell you about Wolfman Jack. So we'll get to that a little later.
In fact, we had a moment tonight as we were talking before we came into the studio about Wolfman Jack. Coming up later on tonight, you'll find out what made us go, ugh! We were shocked and somewhat appalled.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
50 years ago.
That was a, we'll explain.
Yes.
And it wasn't 50 years ago that Wolfman Jack started, but something else.
Yeah, it was longer than 50 years ago that Wolfman Jack was around, because I first became familiar with him from American Graffiti, right?
Yeah.
Or Hot Wax.
No, it was American Graffiti. American Hot Wax was the movie that was made about
Alan Freed.
Alan Freed,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a great... Whatever happened to the guy that played Alan Freed in American Hot Wax? Because he was perfect.
He was perfect.
And
right.
I don't recall that he did a whole lot after that.
And I'm going to say something that's probably, you'll take away my American car, my American girl card. Pardon us for coughing, but I just had to take a slug of Robitussin too, because it ain't going away, which is really frustrating.
And again, for those of you that are new to this, while we were in Florida, we both came down with some bugs. Johnny got the premium version of the bug and had a temperature in triple digits. We're not contagious now, but the doctors tell both of us that we're going to be coughing for a few weeks.
And it was not COVID. We're still right. Novids.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like the fact that I'm a Novid. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I'm going to keep trying. Where was I going with this?
Well, while you're thinking where you're going, I'm doing an audible. Julian, I forgot. What's our out time for this hour? Since we're up to the midnight hour?
You got about 3 minutes exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
So I was, talking about us coughing.
Yeah.
So never mind. Never mind. There's so many things that we have to cover tonight. I said to you during a commercial break, oh my gosh, I just came across this piece of information, which actually dovetails nicely with our conversation with Patrick, because we are going to talk about the Ticketmaster hack. We're also going to talk about the fact that there is a warning out. You remember we've covered the AT&T hack quite extensively on the program, and now the word is, if you get an email that claims to be from AT&T saying, oh, we know that you're aware that we've had this problem, but we want you to be, I guess, to be aware that we feel so badly, we want to give you something, so here, fill out this form, and if you click on it, it's nothing but trouble, so don't do that.
One of the things that I'm starting to do, even if I get an email that looks like it's official, I will still go to the main website on a different browser for whatever that company is and find out, are they sending out these kind of emails? And only if that is true, then will I go back and maybe do something.
And that takes me to the little factoid that I came across just a few minutes ago. And I said to you during the commercial break, what do you think is the company that is most often impersonated in this country? The company that's most often impersonated by scammers. I was surprised. The FTC has announced it's Best Buy.
Really?
Yes. And apparently part of the problem is people get email from the Geek Squad. It's not the Geek Squad emailing you. It's not them trying to tell that you have a problem with your computer. The Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, said in their latest report that Best Buy and its Geek Squad tech help arm was the most impersonated brand in 2023. Amazon and PayPal were second and third most frequently impersonated companies. Scammers dupe customers through their multiple channels, including phone, email, and social media, swindling consumers out of more than $1 billion a year. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Doesn't mean that Best Buy is a bad company. Just means that the scammers have taken advantage of what Best Buy does with their Geek Squad. Mm-hmm. And they realize that a lot of people buy their computers through Best Buy. So if we send out an email claiming your computer needs to be upgraded or updated, next thing you know, you're clicking on something that's really bad. So
we're going to talk more about this with Patrick Crispin.
I know.
Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. And yes, that music kind of indicates that we're going to segue into a computer zone.
Talking technology, and boy, is there a lot to talk about.
Boy.
So many stories that have left the world of technology and become national, and in some cases, international news stories. So we've got a lot of ground to cover with our guest, Patrick Crispin,
who is the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. And boy, Patrick, it seems like there isn't a day that goes by that we're not hearing about some major hack.
Yes, and first of all, woohoo! thank you for inviting me back on the air. Yeah, there's a major hack that people are just starting to hear about. It turns out back on May 27th, there was a cybercrime forum called Exploit, and there was an advertisement that somebody posted there, new user, and said, hey, I've got a bunch of Ticketmaster data, and I'm willing to sell it for you. I've got 1.3 terabytes of Ticketmaster data, and if you write me a check for $500,000, I'll give it to you. Oh, by the way, the information that is included in the files are basically information about, I'm not making this number up, 560 million Ticketmaster users. Basically all the Ticketmaster users ever around the world. This database, and people have looked at it and seen parts of it, are saying this contains your full name, your address, your phone number, email address, and your order history. It gets worse. It also includes the last four digits of your credit card number and your credit card expiration date.
Ouch.
The reason why this is scary, it's not that they can use that information to go and add charges to your account. What you're going to see are bad people who are going to cough up the $500,000 to get this database are then going to contact you and say, hey, Steve, I'm Patrick Crispin from Bank of America. I know you've got a credit card that, you know, an American Express card. Last four digits of it are 2217. We need to talk to you right now. We've got some things that are going on with your account. Fake call. And you're going to say, wow, this makes perfect sense. I mean, you know the last four digits of my credit card number. You've got to be legitimate. So the reality is you are going to start seeing a lot of what are called spear phishing attacks. Phishing is where you go out and try to get somebody to kind of do things that are not necessarily in their best interest, but you send it to everybody. A spear phish is where you say, I'm going to target Johnny Putman. And I have information about Johnny Putman, and I'm going after her and only her, and I'm going to try to get her to give me her information. So I'm going to specifically spearfish Johnny. You're going to see, again, 560 million Ticketmaster users, and that means that if you've been to any sort of concert, you've Ticketmaster, you have no choice. Your data is in the hands now of some really bad people, and you just need to be on the lookout for additional people contacting you now trying to get information from you. So again, they're not going to be able to go and open accounts for in your name because they don't have a social security number.
And they're not going to have your password. Because that always freaks people out. So, they're like, oh, do they have my password? No, they don't have your password, but they have some important stuff.
They have some important stuff, which they can then use to follow up with you to get you to give them the rest of the stuff they need to actually truly hurt you. As we were digging deeper into the Ticketmaster hack, it looks like it's not just Ticketmaster that was impacted. It looks like there is a financial services company that I saw a lot in Europe, haven't seen it over here in America, called Santander, S-A-N-T-A-N-D-E-R. And it looks like their data has been exfiltrated as well. What sort of takes Ticketmaster and Santander and combines them, or is the common thread between them, is they all use the same cloud hosting provider. It's a company called Snowflake. Snowflake provides backends for about 9,500 companies. The companies that they could have gotten information from, if this truly is just not just Santander and Ticketmaster, we don't know this, but it could be. We're talking about Anheuser-Busch, State Farm, Mitsubishi, Progressive Insurance, Neiman Marcus, Allstate, Advanced Auto Parts, Adobe, AT&T, Capital One, DoorDash, Instacart, JetBlue, MasterCard, NBC Universal, and Western Union.
Holy smokes!
So let's just fingers crossed, it's just Ticketmaster and Santander.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's all of Snowflake, and if it's all of Snowflake, it's everybody.
Yeah.
This is bad.
Wow.
Can
I take you back to the hacker who originally got the information from Ticketmaster, took advantage of some vulnerability? Were you surprised that he was selling, or the person or the group was selling, the data for $500,000? I thought that was so cheap.
That's not a lot of money.
No.
What
you have.
If you go out after a hospital, you go ask for millions.
Yeah.
Like, $500,000 is not a lot of money here.
Really?
For 560 million records.
Ticketmaster,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. When we mentioned...
Or were they trying to sell it to multiple people?
Well,
like, very likely.
Here, Johnny, if you'll give me 500,
I'll give you some of the information.
Patrick, if you'll give me 500, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So a listener said, when we said we were going to touch on this, because, of course, this has become a very big story, news story. Listener says, how safe is the Ticketmaster app now? I'm looking forward to buying some tickets for the Robert Plant, Alison Krauss concert. And, you know, it crossed my mind that maybe it wouldn't be the safest thing to do. So what do you think, Patrick?
It's as safe as it was before the hack. Just realize that when you are making a purchase, almost anywhere now, your data is going to be exfiltrated. Some bad guy's going to get it. Mm-hmm. If you have purchased anything from Ticketmaster, you've got to assume that your data is now in the hands of the bad guys, and there's a risk that somebody could come get you. You should still use Ticketmaster because, like it or not, you don't have a choice.
Right.
That's the whole thing about the Live Nation and Ticketmaster and how the Department of Justice is going after them for the monopolistic ways that they basically have locked up all the venues, all the acts, and you have to buy from Ticketmaster. So you don't have a choice.
Patrick, you're not a lawyer, but I'm going to throw this out anyway. Are there any movements you're aware of to allow individual venues to go back to the old school? Oh, I'm going to go to Patrick's Theater. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to buy the tickets. Like, there's a place that we love to go to in Evanston, Space. And you can go in there and you can just buy the tickets right there. You don't have to go through Ticketmaster or anything. Is there any movement to allow that to happen more often?
Well, but it's really up to Ticketmaster to allow it to happen. Because Live Nation own all of the venues or have the contracts for all the venues. And unless you want to have no names coming and playing, if you really want to book any of the national tours or even the regional tours, you have no choice but to go through Ticketmaster, which is one of the reasons why the Department of Justice is going after Live Nation and Ticketmaster subsidiary. It really is a monopoly.
You know, we may have to get somebody from Space on to talk a little bit about that, because I know they are one of the venues and they get some pretty well-known acts.
Mm-hmm.
Some nationally known acts. So I'm not sure how they... Now, as I understand it, when we've purchased tickets from them in the past, there is the option of, yes, you can go online and you can buy, and it costs you more if you do that, but if you go right to their venue...
You don't have to pay the fees.
You don't have to pay the fees, you get the tickets, you don't have to give all the other information. So I'm not sure how they do it, but I think it would be worth having a conversation with them about what is their setup and how does it differ from a ton of other places.
And where does their information go? What cloud does it end up on once you make your purchase? Wow. Patrick, sit tight. We're going to take a break and come back. We have so many things to cover with Patrick tonight. We're going to spend some time talking about cyber safety tips. And Patrick has put together quite an impressive list, and we'll kind of break it down for you and then also make it available to you if you're not able to get everything from us the first go round here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking technology with Patrick Crispin. Director of Educational Technology of Keck School of Medicine of USC. And Patrick, before we segue away from the Ticketmaster data breach, other than hoping that nothing bad is going to happen, are there any steps anyone listening to us right now should take? Should they put a hold on their credit?
Freeze their credit?
Should they? What kind of things should people do to
don't click on
to
email.
Be proactive?
I think the honest answer is there's not much you can do other than to be on the lookout for scams going forward.
Mm-hmm.
People now have your information. You need to be aware that people have your information. Because there's 560 million users whose data has been taken, they may not actually come after you. They you know, you might be able to hide in the mass of 560 million people. But if they do come after you, just be aware. So from now on, your spidey sense should be heightened, and you're looking for things that just say, wait a minute, do I want to trust this? And I think really now for the next couple of years, you've got to sit there and go, I don't know. I'm going to be extra safe on how I respond to this. If I get a text message or I get an email, I'm just going to forget that, and I'm just going to go to the website of the company that's trying to contact me.
Yep.
Log into my account there.
Mm-hmm.
Using the link that I know. So I'm not going to click on anything in an email or click on anything in a text. I'm just going to go. And if PayPal's truly trying to contact me, I'm going to go to paypal.com and log in and see if something's going on. If my bank's trying to contact me, I'm going to go and log into my bank. I know my bank's website, or better still, if you're in the neighborhood, go to the teller.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They'd love to see you and say, hey, is everything okay? And you'll find out that 99 times out of 100, the urgent message that you got in your inbox or in your text is fake. And you sit there, oh, okay, well, I fall for that.
Okay, and I think it bears repeating, and I know we've done this before. You do not have to change all of your passwords when a story like this breaks, because the likelihood of them having your password is very slim. But the likelihood of them emailing you because they have your email address and saying, oh, you know, your card expires in 2 years, and you look at your card and you go, oh, it does. We need to talk to you.
Last four digits of your card are this.
Right.
And it's not going to be say, hey, we're Ticketmaster, we've got a problem. We're going to sit there and say, hi, we're the Iranian National Guard, and we noticed that you made a donation to us of $500,000 with the last four digits of your credit card number, this, and the expiration date of this. If this is incorrect, you need to contact us immediately, or we're going to charge you your $500,000. You're going to go, well, this is ridiculous. I've got to reply to this. So just be aware, when people start telling you they have your four digits of your credit card or, you know, your expiration date, that information's out there now. And you have to be aware that people saying are going to use that to try to trick you.
And also, let's include the story that we covered extensively last month was the AT&T hack. And apparently there are some emails that are going out now saying, we're so sorry about this news that you're obviously familiar with. We would like to give you a little something something. So if you would just give us the information here, we would like to give you, a year's free service or something. The other one is, we just learned that the FTC has announced that the number one company that is impersonated in this country, the number one company is Best Buy, because people buy their computers at Best Buy. So they feel if they send out this mass, you know, the bad guys are sending out these mass emails to people who have computers, they're going to find somebody that bought their computer at Best Buy. And in that email, they're going to say, oh, there was a problem with your computer. You need to fill out this form or whatever. So don't do it. Just don't do it. Yeah. And as you say, Steve, all the time, slow down. Think.
Yeah, never quickly react to any of this. Never feel pressured. Your life is on the line. No, it's not. Pause. Take a breath. Think about what you're about
to do. It's still scary.
Oh, it's very scary.
Yeah,
it's like when you get that phone call, as I did a couple of months ago, the phone call, the automation said, we have not received your utility bill. Your power is going to be turned off. And I'm looking going, what? And the caller ID number was from the utility company. Yeah. Boy, was that sneaky and disturbing. It's a Saturday afternoon. Who do I call? Of course my bill was paid. What is this all about? And it was a phishing expedition. And, you know, it's unnerving. In my case, I called the Better Business Bureau right away, and I said, should I be doing anything about this?
Welcome to life in 2024. Yeah,
sadly. Gosh.
By the way, I want to mention we're going to get into something we've talked about a little bit, and Patrick has been nice enough to put together a list of cyber safety tips. I'm mentioning this now because you might want to get a pen, pencil, write down some of the things we're going to be listing. And if you can't write it down, we will be posting it on our blog and a bunch of other places.
Yeah.
But it's some really, really good information that will help to keep you safe.
And Patrick, there's some big news. And again, we're going to break for the news in just a minute. The Windows VPN issue that we talked about the last time you were on the show. And I've got to tell you that our night was started out by a listener who said, I'm so sorry that you were ill, but I was so grateful the Best Of show, because on that Best Of show, they reran your appearance where you talked about the VPN and Microsoft updates and how things were all goofed up. And the listener says that was so reassuring because we had had the cable company out. We had had cable rerun and no change, no help whatsoever. Our tech team at work updated and now we're all good to go and connecting to the VPN. But hearing Patrick talk about it made me feel like, okay, things are right in the world finally. So
it's one of those things that Microsoft finally did, so you can patch your Windows again.
Okay. We'll talk a little bit more about that and all kinds of cybersecurity tips coming up with Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
You are bad
you
man.
You were bobbing your head
You're
back and forth to
man.
That. I saw
no.
that. You were getting into it.
I was trying to shake the cobwebs out of my head because I thought, what is this?
That's
AC/DC.
Cyberspace, yes. We're talking cyberspace and who knows what else with Patrick Crispin. Patrick has been nice enough to put together a list of 10 cyber safety tips. Now, we used to, years ago, Patrick, we used to call it the Fab Five, right?
Yep, five things you would do each week to make sure that your computer is up and running and safe and just as problem-free as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But now a lot of those things are automatic and you don't need to do it, so there are some new things you need to do to make yourself safe out on the online world.
Okay, should we start with antivirus?
Yes. Number one, use a strong, reputable antivirus program. And here's a tip a lot of people won't tell you. You need to make sure that your antivirus program is running. And I know that sounds strange, but a lot of viruses, when they infect your computer, the first thing they do is turn off your antivirus program. So manually going in and just making sure that your antivirus program is running is a good tell that you don't have a virus.
Mm-hmm.
If it's off, that should be a big warning sign to you saying, okay, something's wrong, I've got to investigate. So make sure your antivirus program's updated, running. You're going to be good to go. If you want to, check with your employer. Your employer might actually give you a free antivirus program as part of their sort of corporate license. If not, Windows Defender, which ships on the Windows PCs, is wonderful. It's fantastic. The Macs do not have an antivirus yet, but there is a program that we use called Intego Mac Internet Security X9 for Mac.
And it's wonderful.
It's fantastic, and very strongly recommend it. So step number one, use a strong, reputable antivirus program. Make sure it's running.
Now, one thing that since we got the Mac Air, something that I have started doing when I turn on the Mac Air, the first thing I will do is go to Intego and check and see if there are any updates, make sure it's running, I do that before I do anything else on the computer. And that's it.
It's a smart idea. I mean, most antivirus programs will automatically update, but it's always just a good idea just to check to see if the thing is working. I've got my antivirus here. I'm opening it up. Yep, it's working. I just want to make sure, because that's a great way to tell that you don't have a virus.
All right, Patrick, if you have the Windows machine that has Windows Defender, also known as Microsoft Defender, do you have to be proactive and turn it on, or is it automatically running?
It should automatically be running on your computer.
I think the only way...
Because it'll warn you saying this computer's not protected. You'll see a pop-up message all the time, and they'll bug you to make sure it's on. Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong on this, Patrick? I think the only time Windows Defender would not be on is if you manually install McAfee or whatever, you don't want two antivirus programs running. So at that point, Defender would turn off. But if you then uninstall McAfee, bang, Windows Defender automatically goes back on. Am I correct on that?
Because it's built into the operating system. You can disable it, but it gives you all sorts of warning messages if you turn it off.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, because a listener said, I just had a freaky scare. Something got hold of my computer and froze it up, said I had to call Windows immediately. I just turned off the power, and I rebooted my computer. Then I had to reboot my modem. Everything was good after that. Anybody else have this problem?
Don't click. If you get those messages, do not click on them.
But as I did in just a little off the computer, off the Facebook page exchange with this listener, you know, I said, well, what is your antivirus? She didn't know. And then come to find out that she's running a Windows machine. She has Windows 10. And so that's why I wanted to know, would the Defender automatically run? I told her she did the right thing by not clicking on anything and just, you know, if it scared her, just shutting it down and just waiting a bit and going back. And sure enough, nothing was there after that. Wow.
Key thing to remember, Microsoft will absolutely not, under any circumstances, help you get a virus off of your computer. If there's a virus on your computer, Microsoft is never going to tell you about it. They're not going to contact you, and you certainly don't have to pay Microsoft. That is always a scam.
Right. And if they give you a phone number and tell you to call, just run. Don't go there. Okay. So number one is use a strong, reputable antivirus program. And we have the two recommended. So you've got your Windows Defender and for your Mac, the Intego Mac Internet Security X9. All right. Next, we've got software updated and uninstalled unused software. And this one was real interesting to me. So go ahead and explain this one, Patrick.
Yeah, you should know that the programs that you use all the time, your web browser, your, say, Microsoft Word or whatever, make sure you're getting updates for that, because those popular programs are the ones that the hackers are going to try to get into. If you have the latest patches and the latest updates, then you're good to go. But we also recommend that you uninstall any software that you're no longer using. The reason why is that software might not be updated, and that might be an extra level of vulnerability on your computer. By removing software that you just no longer use anymore, you are making your computer much safer. So not only should you be updating the programs that you use all the time, if there are programs you aren't using, get rid of them. You can reinstall them later. But as long as you're not using them, get them off your device. It's just one extra layer of protection for you.
And Patrick, I'm curious if you agree. There is a program that I use. I haven't installed it on the Mac. I don't know if it would work. I do use it on our Windows machines. It's Patch My PC Updater. And I've been using it for years. I like it. Basically, you click on it, and it looks at everything on your PC and says, oh, you need to update Firefox, you need to update whatever. Now, what, and this is just my choice, I will look at the list of things it says it can automatically update, then I will go and manually update them myself. That's just me. But if you want to just click on it and say, okay, update these things, it will do it. What do you think about Patch My PC Updater?
I have heard of it. I've not used it. I haven't really checked it out, but it sounds like you like it. On the Mac, there really isn't a similar thing, but what you can do is you can go into the Apple Store, basically click on the Apple menu, and then click on the App Store, and any of the apps that you've downloaded from Apple will be updated there. If not, you actually download the things from the web, you'll have to open up the programs and manually update them.
And there's also a program that you click on, and it checks to see if your software needs to be updated on the Mac. It will say, oh, yeah, there's an update for this system, so you ought to do it.
Yep, that's it. So that you can do that for the system, and that's under system settings.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the Mac, on the software that you purchased from Apple or got free from the App Store, you go through the App Store.
Is there any concern if you get a computer that has software that you never use, taking the stuff that was on the computer when you bought it off the computer?
Usually, no. You can go online if there's software you absolutely aren't. You need to double check and say, is this software that my Dell put on my computer,
mm-hmm.
or that Lenovo put on my computer that I absolutely need to run? You can check on that, but a lot of that time, most of the computer stuff that comes installed on your computer is garbage put there by the companies
yeah.
to make money off of you
yeah.
to begin with, so get rid of it.
And that includes games. You can get rid of all
Very
those games
so.
That come loaded on your machine, too.
Now we move on to multi-factor authentication, Patrick?
Yes, use it.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah, use multi-factor authentication everywhere. All accounts that can support it. If you go to 2FA.directory, that's 2FA directory, 2FA.directory, you'll find those sites, all the list of sites that support two-factor authentication, multi-factor authentication. It should be on every site that and every login that you have that enables it, because it is such a great way to protect yourself from being hacked. I can tell you right now what I'm hearing on the Ticketmaster hack with what happened with Snowflake. I think the problem was they didn't have two-factor authentication turned on.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
And Patrick,
I really do think that's how that information got out there.
Am I wrong? Or two-factor authentication is one of the simplest things to do, and yet it is
yeah.
one of the things that people are most resistant to because, oh, you mean I'm going to have to, in addition to signing it, now they're going to have to send me a code that I'm going to have to... Yes! And it's going to
yes.
make you safer.
It's going to make your life easier. Do that. So multi-factor authentication, two-factor authentication, sometimes called, enable it. By the way, back up one quick thing. In the last segment, I was talking about Windows Defender. Windows Defender is the enterprise version of the antivirus that comes on business computers. For home users, it's called Microsoft Defender, but
mm-hmm.
basically it's Defender or Defender, whether it's Windows Defender or Microsoft
right.
Defender, they're the same antivirus.
And they're
yep.
really good,
they're
which,
great.
Which is something we would not have said about Microsoft 10 years ago.
They did a great job. So we turned on multi-factor authentication. The other thing you need to do, step number 4, turn on and create unique passphrases everywhere. And really, it's important to not reuse a password or passphrase at different sites. You can't reuse it, because what happens is, we've talked about it week after week, all these different sites are getting hacked. Sometimes they're stealing usernames and passwords. If you're using the same password on multiple sites and one site gets hacked, all the other sites that you use are now vulnerable to someone logging in as you. If you have a different password at every single site you go to, you make it so that if one site gets hacked, all of the other sites that you visit can't be hacked, because they're not going to know your password. So use a very, very unique password or passphrase at every site you use. Don't reuse your passwords or passphrases. And if you need to, Password Manager is a perfect way to remember. I've used Password Manager for years. Strongly recommend it. By the way, what's the difference between a password and a passphrase? A passphrase is actually multiple words, and it's easier for you to remember. So instead of having a password, which could be like Q QJ1!93, you're going to forget that. And it's actually really easy for a computer to guess that. Have something like, and it's a great example, the words correct, horse, battery, staple. You remember those four words because, well, it's memorable for you. But a computer can't guess that because it's so long and so complex. It would take it centuries for a computer to figure that out. But you can remember it. So past words are okay. Past phrases or past sentences are really great. They're a much better way to keep yourself safe.
Is there an advantage to using just the first letter for those past phrases for each word? Because my pea-sized brain says that the computer, if they're figuring out, oh, here's a word, I understand how to spell that word. But if you just use the first letter of those multiple words you came up with, wouldn't that make it a little more difficult for someone or a computer to figure it out?
No, because the past phrase is going to be longer than you using just the first numbers or first letters. Hmm. If I can guess that, say, it's A through Z, uppercase, lowercase, all the numbers, and in all the special characters, I can then say, okay, if this thing's going to be 8 characters long, I just go and run a random number generator for every one of those letters and just keep guessing until I get it. If I've got a past phrase that is 20, 30 letters long, I do not like the color orange at Tennessee. It's going to take a computer centuries to guess that because it doesn't know if it's 8 letters or 9 letters or 10 letters or 11 letters or 12 letters. And are there spaces or not spaces? It has to go through all the different permutations. So the longer your phrase, the better and more secure you are.
I see. So my evil brain says, okay, so I'm going to do a past phrase, but I'm going to spell everything backwards.
Oh, gee.
You can be as crazy as you want, but the thing is, you want to make it so that it's easy for you to remember and hard for a computer to guess.
Yes. But a password manager, if this is all very overwhelming to you, a password manager would take care of that for you.
And let me hold that. What currently, because I know you changed your opinion over the past couple of years, what password managers do you currently recommend? And are there any password managers that are available free of charge?
I'm not aware of any that are truly free of charge. The one that I use is 1Password. There is also Bitdefender as another one. I was a LastPass user, and I looked at their business practices, and they recently got hacked, and I just felt unsafe on LastPass. So I went to 1Password.
Okay, or Bitdefender.
Bitdefender.
Number 5, be cautious with messages, meaning?
Yeah, basically, and we talked about this earlier, if somebody is sending you an email or sending you a text message, don't click on the links in those messages unless you know that this is coming from somebody you know and that you were expecting that person to send it to you. We talked about don't click on links in email messages. We have to add, don't click on links in any sort of messages, including text messages, including Instagram, including Facebook, including all these other things. Don't open attachments or click on links in any message unless you are expecting that message and you verified the sender. So emails, text messages, pop-ups, verify the sender before you click on anything, because this is how these bad guys get you, is they'll send you a link and you'll click on that link. And, oh, you won't believe who died.
Yeah.
Click on the link. Oh, darn, yeah. I've logged out of Facebook. Okay, let me log in. Mm-hmm. I type in my username and password, and it turns out you weren't logging out of Facebook. You were logging now into a hacker who's stealing your information. Don't click on those links.
And, Patrick, you know that I have called you when I've received a message from you. I've called you and said, did you send me this message? So here I am talking to Patrick on the phone saying, okay, should I open up this message?
And let me add, on your Facebook, you should have 2-factor authentication set up.
Yes.
So that you have to get a code.
Because in that case, if they have your username and password, they still can't get in.
That's
they don't
right.
have your second factor.
That's right. All right. So, again, we talked earlier about being cautious with messages that you get. So don't open those attachments. Again, breathe. Don't freak out. And, again, you're going to get urgent requests, as I did on my phone. You know, your utilities are going to be turned off. Just try to slow down, because number six is beware of urgent requests.
Yeah, be suspicious of any messages that urge some sort of immediate action, especially if they're asking for personal information. You got to stop, verify the request. And a statement that my father taught me, and I'll teach Joseph this, is no is a complete sentence. If somebody contacts you and says, you have to do this, you are absolutely right to say no, period, sent.
Okay. I won't forget that. I like that.
No is a complete sentence.
Monitor your financial statements. And I think more and more we're kind of getting on board with that because of all the hacking news. You know, oh, does something look wonky? And, you know, reacting if something does look weird. We're going to have to do something about freezing your credit, because a lot of people are saying that that's the way to go, so that if information gets out there, people can't be opening up accounts with the information they have on you. So
it's true, but also be checking your bank card statements. Make sure that there's nothing there that's popped up, or some sort of subscription that you've signed up for that you no longer need. Just monitor. It's something you might have forgotten to do, but go back and check. And if you have a question, track it down. Don't ever, 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 ever use your debit card in any online transaction.
Yes.
Because we've talked about this. There is almost no protection on your debit card. Credit card is the bank's money. So if somebody steals your credit card information, fantastic.
We want to get to the final two items on Patrick's list, but we're freaking out because within the past couple minutes, the fog has engulfed Navy Pier. We look out from our studio and we can't see Lakeshore Drive.
Or the Ferris wheel.
Or the Ferris wheel.
Or the Wrigley building.
It's gone away.
We see faint lights from windows that are lit around us, but they're all diffused. It's very eerie. So I'm posting some pictures right now on our Facebook page.
I want to click. Have you put them up yet, or are they?
I'm doing it now.
Okay. Patrick, you have been up in the studio. If you can imagine looking out and you don't see anything. You don't see Lakeshore Drive.
Stop using... You're using your Halloween voice too much tonight, and it's freaking me out, too.
I don't know what you mean.
I just posted the pictures. They just look like the blurry splotches of something. In fact, that's...
Oh, that is... Yeah, those are some eerie... Patrick, if you get the chance to go to the Steve and Johnny page... And you can see what we're seeing outside of our window right now.
Or not seeing outside of our window.
Or not seeing, as the case may be.
Ah, okay. We want to wrap up this wonderful list that Patrick put together of 10 cyber safety tips. And
by the way, we should mention the list will be posted on our blog. We'll put links to it.
Yes.
But, Patrick, thank you for putting this together, because a lot of good tips.
And a listener from a 630 area code said, wasn't there something in the news lately that two-factor authentication system had been compromised?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
How could it be?
How could,
Because every company is different. And
I'm not aware of that.
To answer a question from a listener who said, do you have to have a smartphone to do two-factor authentication? No, because oftentimes it will say, can we email you a code?
And a lot of sites...
Or call you.
Or call you.
A lot of sites give you the option of, even like Facebook, for example. Okay, do you want us to text you? Do you want us to call you? Do you want us to email it? What do you want us to do?
So you don't have to have a smartphone to be able to set up two-factor authentication.
That's correct.
Yes. All right. So I think we are now on number eight Oh, no, you said avoid using your debit card. That's worth repeating. Avoid. Always avoid using your debit card. And it takes me back to our early days of Website Wednesday night when the listener called in and they had just purchased a computer and they were frustrated about something with the computer. And I think in the course of our conversation, we said, well, you need to talk to your credit card company about that. And they said, oh, no, I put it on my debit card. And we all went, no! Oh. That was in the early days. Okay.
Yeah.
Number nine, avoid gift card scams.
This is, and to everybody listening, I'm speaking directly to you. I want you to remember this, and I want you to share this with everybody you know, because this is important. There is no such thing as a reputable business or reputable government agency that is ever going to contact you and say that you can only pay them with gift cards. It literally doesn't happen. Because think about it. Every business you've ever dealt with in your entire life, every government agency you've ever dealt with in your entire life takes Visa, takes MasterCard, takes American Express. Why on earth would the IRS need you to pay with a Google gift card? Why would Microsoft need you to pay with an Apple gift card? It makes no sense. So what ends up happening is you get these panicked calls from Microsoft, air quote Microsoft, or the IRS or the Homeland Security saying, we're going to come and arrest you, or your computer's going to catch on fire, or whatever. We need you to pay us the money right now, but you have to pay with a go to Jewel Osco and get yourself a Google Play card and put $500 on that card, and then call me up with that number. It is always a hoax. You will never, ever, 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 ever pay for a legitimate business or government agency with a gift card. Just doesn't happen. You're going to use your credit card. And if somebody's asking you for a gift card, you know you're being taken. Mm-hmm. Just explain this to your friends. Explain it to your loved one. Explain it to your parents. But gift cards, if you hear gift card means scam. You do not have to pay with gift cards. If you hear gift card, it's always a scam.
And sadly, there always seems to be a story that will pop up of people who've lost thousands and thousands of dollars because they thought they had to do something with gift cards. And, you know, I'm thinking, wow, there's so much time that passes from the time you're notified that you need to get the gift cards and then you go and buy the gift cards. You think it's somewhere along the line someone would have stepped in and said, no, this is not good.
There are a lot of actually Jewel Osco's and drugstores and grocery stores who will put up signs saying, if you have been asked to purchase a gift card for some online company or whatever, it's fake, it's a scam.
Yeah.
There are clerks at the checkout stands who tell you, you don't need to do this, you're being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Just be aware, gift card, scam.
Absolutely.
Unless you're buying the gift card because you know who you're giving it to and you really want to give them a gift, that's perfectly fine. But payment with a gift card?
No.
It's never real. It's always fake.
Okay. And finally, back up your data.
So the last of our weekly Fab Five was backup, 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 and it still is. Keep a backup of your important files. Better on an external hard drive. You can go get a USB drive and back it up there, or to a cloud service to protect against data loss. I use Backblaze. You can use Dropbox. You can use OneDrive. You could use anything, but just you want to make sure that all of the files that are on your computer that are important to you are backed up in case your hard drive dies or your computer is stolen or there's a fire or a flood. You can get access to your data. So having a backup is absolutely critical. You've got to have a backup.
And while I think an external drive is a wonderful idea, to my knowledge, Dropbox has not been hacked yet?
I don't believe it. I'm trying to remember if they have. I'll have to look into that. I think they might have had some hack, but it wasn't significant, if I remember. It's been a while.
Okay, before we wrap up, two quick things. One we mentioned earlier, but I have to share this with you.
we do our post before we're coming to do the show. We do a post of, okay, here's what's going on. And then we will always check. This is on Facebook. And we will always check to see who's seen it and, you know, where are people listening from. Well, as we're checking tonight, we see that we have this message from Meta AI. And it said, what people are saying. Listeners are excited for tonight's show, tuning in from various locations, including Wisconsin, Texas, Florida, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, and Washington, D.C. They're looking forward to the in-studio performance by the Empty Pockets and the latest updates from Patrick Crispin. Why is Meta AI doing this? This is dumb. It makes no sense.
Well, because it hasn't told you yet that you need to put glue on your pizza.
That's right.
Well, there is that. My final thing, did your wife show you something that I sent to her earlier this week with a suggestion that she might not want to pass it on to a certain 8-year-old in your house?
I think so. We've been spoiling Joseph tremendously this past week. So,
well, he finished second grade, of course.
Yeah, he is now a rising third grader. He's
yes.
no longer a second grader. He's a rising third grader, and we spent all day yesterday. Well, after school yesterday, took him to Disneyland to celebrate.
The picture
if you could remind me of what
the picture that I sent Christine and Johnny. I don't think you saw that. Now you know recently there was this big Lego construction that is not flying in Joseph's room.
Mm-hmm.
The Lego Concord, and then he followed that up with the ornithopter from Dune,
which is really creepy looking.
It's really creepy looking. It's huge too.
So this picture popped up in my feed on Facebook. It's an old picture from when they were shooting Star Trek. And it's a picture of the cameraman shooting the Star Trek Enterprise. And
nice.
The Enterprise that they were shooting is, it looks to be about 3 times the size of the Lego.
The Concorde.
Oh.
And I was thinking, you really shouldn't.
What, they make that available?
This was a shot from the original series. It was just a camera shot of the cameraman focused on this small thing because, believe it or not, there was not a real Starship Enterprise.
No.
So they had a smaller.
You lie.
Really? Next he'll tell me there's no Santa Claus.
I recall, the shooting model is now in the Smithsonian.
Let me take you back to the Dune ornithopter. Did you guys put that together?
Well, it was me trying to have him do it, but then this basically, the box lied. It said it was for 18 up, and this was the most complex Lego project ever made by human beings.
This is amazing.
How big is it?
It's bigger than the Concorde, right?
No, it's a little smaller.
It is, yeah.
It may be 2 feet long instead of 3.5 feet long, but it has six blade wings on it that flap. The gears come up and down. It's he loves it, and he has broken it many times and asked me to put it back together.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm going to post a picture of it because I've never seen anything like it. It's just, to me, it's terrifying. And
it really is.
It looks like a crazy, big, angry bug of some kind. And speaking of bugs, can I just say that I am so happy that our neighborhood somehow, some way, just like downtown Chicago, has not been infested with cicadas.
There was an article, I'm trying to think, where was it, Eric Zorn, who just did a column on there. There are some areas where there have been no cicadas, and we're in one of those areas.
And Patrick,
so far,
I'm telling you, I'm afraid when you guys come this summer, if we have the cicadas like they have in Naperville and in Elmhurst, Joseph would never step outside the house. The ground is moving. The grass is moving.
What was the picture we saw yesterday of the guy who had like a raincoat, and there were cicadas all over the raincoat?
He was mowing the grass, and he had tried to mow the grass in his shirt sleeves, and they were recovering his body. They're big, and they have red eyes.
Yep.
And they crawl.
Except for the couple that have blue eyes.
The rare blue-eyed ones, yes. And they crawl out of their shell and leave their shell behind, And every day I go outside and say, we've gone another day without them. Joseph will be so happy. So am I. I don't know.
For Joseph to show up, you know.
You're right. Somebody said it right. This is a lot like cable, because it used to be a standing joke.
Yeah.
That every place around downtown had cable but downtown. So now cicadas are like cable. Every place but downtown has cicadas. So, and I'm very thankful for that. My prayers have been answered. We're going to let you get out of here, Patrick. Thank you so much. We're going to post your 10 tips, and they will come up again in the future, I'm sure. There's so many other things we needed to talk about, but we'll have to pick that up in a couple of weeks. AI, I think that's going to be one of our regular topics of conversation, right?
Yep. Especially after next week and what Apple is about to announce. Just I'll leave that as a teaser. Be prepared.
Oh,
you're such a tease.
Yep. Really? Okay.
It's coming. It's going to be big.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. So Johnny has been busy posting pictures of the...
I posted the Lego Ornithopter, which is the flying contraption from the movie Dune. This is 8-year-old Joseph Crispin's latest Lego.
And it's right next to the Lego Concorde.
Yes. And as Patrick said, this was a really complicated thing to put together.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks scary.
So if you go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you'll see the picture that Johnny just posted.
Yes, from the ornithopter.
From Joseph's bedroom.
And you'll also, if you scroll down, the post just before that was posted 15 minutes ago. It was what we're seeing out our studio windows here on the 18th floor.
Or not seeing.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot of anything other than some diffused lights that look a little bit like car headlights or windows in buildings around us, because we can't, as I posted, we cannot see Lakeshore Drive. We cannot see the Ferris wheel.
It is so weird to look out our windows and we don't see the drive. And as I'm looking out the windows...
Can't see Wrigley here, building.
I don't see the Wrigley building. Well, I can kind of see the Wrigley building. Yeah, that has kind of...
Okay. Well, folks are concerned about us getting home. I think we decided during the news we're probably not going to take Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, we may not do that tonight. We usually do.
That may be a lot foggier than the expressway would be. Who knows? I don't know. If you're out there driving and you have a chance when you get home to shoot us a text to 312-981-7200, tell us what 94 is looking like tonight. By the way, Don checked in from Lincoln Square and he says, we don't have cicadas here either. I don't know how we got so lucky, because every year, every summer, I complain about those blasted things, and I was prepared for this just to be the worst. I mean, if we had two broods coming out of the ground for the first time since Thomas Jefferson.
Now, because you're talking about this.
No. I don't have that kind of power. If I had that kind of power, we would be flying an ornithopter.
We would?
That's how we'd go home. I don't know. Okay. This is just a new word. I'd never used it before till tonight, so... An ornithopter. It sounds like it's wrong, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
By the way, a couple of reminders. Next week, we're going to be starting about an hour later.
Yes.
Because of the Stanley Cup game. So we should be starting around 10 o'clock, we think.
I know it's going to be painful for Blackhawks fans to tune in because it's the Stanley Cup playoffs and there are no Blackhawks. But if you love hockey, you look forward. I mean, June is a big month for basketball and hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy it. And, you know, I was glad that in our sportscast, the story of the Indiana and Chicago women's basketball game made the news.
Yeah.
Because that was ugly.
I am no longer a fan of the Sky.
Well, it's one player. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. I don't care what the sport is. That was Bush League.
when
really unnecessary.
A player just basically knocked Caitlin Clark down, just boom. I mean, it was just as it had nothing to
and
do.
And one of the Sky players on the bench then
cheered.
Started cheering. No, yeah. that is
that
not what
ugly.
Sportsmanship is all about.
Yeah, that was really ugly.
Or sportswomanship.
But the Sky lost, so.
Yeah.
Vengeance is mine. Right.
Well, we got a lot more to come. Oh, don't forget the last call in the
last half hour. Yep,
so,
yep.
And a lot more, so stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's our friend Joanna Connor, who is going to be appearing at the Chicago Blues Fest this coming week.
Yes, on Wednesday night to kick off Chicago Blues Fest. It's going to be a really special thing going on at the Harris Theater. Red Hot and Blues Women, presented by Delmark Records, will include Joanna Connor, Cheryl Youngblood, Carlisle Guy, Melody Angel, and Sharon Lewis. So it's going to be hot in
that
theater.
Yeah, that's going to be smoking.
So again, the Blues Fest, I just hope the weather holds out for Blues Fest, because so often in June we have that, you know, iffy, and you get out for just a free good time at Millennium Park, and they're expecting like 500,000 Blues fans to gather in the park, and venues around the city are going to be celebrating Blues Fest. And I think I saw where Nick Moss is also doing something on Thursday night to kick off
Blues
Fest.
Nick is doing, I want to say Nick is doing, I believe it's three different appearances.
Yes.
At clubs in Chicago and at Blues Fest itself, I believe.
Thursday night at the Romova Theater, Ronnie Baker Brooks and Shamikia Copeland will be performing.
Yeah.
Then Friday at the Pritzker Pavilion, you've got Kim Wilson of the Fabulous Thunderbirds. Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since we talked to Kim.
Jimmy D. Lane, Kenny Blues Boss Wayne, Felton Cruz, and Corey Harris. Then at the Mississippi Juke Joint stage, Keith Johnson and the Big Muddy Band and Nora Jean Wallace. Rosa's Lounge is also going to be the place to be for Blues Fest with Little Jimmy Reed with Ben Levin. Then on Saturday at the Pritzker Pavilion, you can catch a tribute to Dinah Washington featuring Dee Alexander, Bruce Henry.
Oh, good, Dee Alexander.
And Charles Heath. Also on Sunday, let me double check here, but I believe Sunday is going to be Buddy Guy. Yep, Sunday at the Pritzker Pavilion. It will be Buddy Guy, the Cashbox Kings. Yay.
Yeah.
A centennial tribute to Otis Spann featuring Johnny Iguana, Roosevelt Purefoy, and Oscar Wilson of the Cashbox Kings.
Cool.
Also, he performs with Joel Patterson.
Yes.
Quite often. I mean, he's just amazing. So you can have a chance to see him perform. It'll be great. And then, as we said, some other venues like the new Romova Theater and Rosa's. And Wednesday night, it all starts with the ladies performing, kicking off Blues Fest. And let's see, have I missed anybody here? Again, their show is going to be at the Harris Theater on Wednesday night with Joanna Connor, among many other very talented women of the blues.
The show is really getting away from us. We'd said we were going to come back to Wolfman Jack. I think we're going to do that next week, since tonight is the last night for the Sinatra Hours. And next week, Wolfman Jack starts at 2 a.m., right after our show.
Right.
And I have loved the Sinatra Hours, and I'm going to love Wolfman Jack. And again, not just because it's this radio station, but it's all good.
Yeah. And, you know, there are people coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, but I love the Sinatra Hours. I know. It's been around for a while. And Dave puts an incredible amount of work into
really
that show.
Does.
And this is going to give him a chance to, you know, focus a little bit more on what he does on Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see.
And I think it's going to be cool to hear the Wolfman again.
I do want to take us back to when I said we were talking about Wolfman Jack earlier today or on Saturday, and we both went, what? No, that can't be. So what happened was we both started singing a song that was very popular, Clap for the Wolfman.
By the Guess Who?
By the Guess. And so I said, you said, I played that on the radio. When I was down the street. And I said, I must have played that on the radio too. But when I played it, it was considered an oldie. Because I was playing it in 78, 79. It was actually released 50 years ago this month.
74.
Oh my gosh. And then I said, just think, in 74, if we went back 50 years, we would have been talking about things that happened in 24. That's a big difference. I mean, it's remarkable when you think of what happened in that 50-year. Well, I guess it's pretty remarkable what's happened in this 50-year period, too, since 74, when you think about technology.
Yep.
Okay, I feel really old. I feel really old now. Old and hungry.
We've been hungry since the show started.
I can quickly put the kibosh on your hunger.
All right.
I came across something last week, and I really was going to make an effort to pull it together, but I just didn't have it in me because I was afraid I was going to spend a lot of time and energy on something that no one would touch.
All right.
So let me tell you what it is.
All right.
Pickled cheesecake.
Pickled cheesecake.
Yes, I have a recipe for it.
Why?
Are you thumbs up or thumbs down on it?
Julian, you want to jump in on this? Pickled cheesecake.
If I had five thumbs down to give, I would.
No. See, that's why I didn't want to waste my time, because you all would
pickled
go, what?
Cheesecake.
Yes, to me it sounds like heaven on a plate.
Why would someone do this?
Because it sounds good.
Or not.
Pickles with cheese is wonderful. Now.
But then, Johnny is the one who's been known to...
Oh, stop.
In the wee hours of the morning, I hear the sound of little feet pattering out to the kitchen, and she's going to the refrigerator. I hear the refrigerator, and Johnny is drinking pickle juice.
My little 8.5 feet are walking. Yes, because it's good for muscle spasms.
Well, that's true.
And also, seriously,
if you ever have a muscle cramp,
drink pickle juice.
Pickle juice. Really. It works within about 60 seconds.
It's amazing. It really is.
I don't understand why. Is it because of the salt or what is it?
I don't know. I've heard that coaches actually will have jars of pickle juice available. So if you're
That's not an urban legend.
Yeah,
that's,
if you're
that's,
out in the field,
it works.
Yeah, it really does work. And you can buy it by the gallon.
Yeah.
You can buy it on Amazon by the gallon, which is kind of crazy.
But pickled cheesecake?
Pickled cheesecake. There's another little phenomenon that's very big in the South. And when we were down in Florida, I didn't have a chance to bring together the combination of Dr. Pepper and pickles. Apparently, that's a big deal at the,
oh, darn.
At the Sonic drive-ins. People are coming out for a Dr. Pepper with a handful of pickle slices in it. To me, again, sounds like heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I lost all appetite. Thank you for that.
See, I knew that would work on somebody. Thank you, Julian. Because I said to Steve, I know how to put the kibosh on your...
I need another cookie.
Well, oops, I see the lights are flickering.
I can't tell you about any other fabulous pickle delicacies that are available to you, like pickled jelly beans, pickled hard candy.
Ooh, tonight Adam is driving the Zamboni.
I know. He's going to get the job done.
That means they're getting ready to scoot us out of here, so it's time for the last call, 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. If you would like to be our last call and win some goodies from the prize list.
You don't have to have anything fabulous to say. Just be aware that you will be the cherry on top of our five-hour show.
Just be kind of able to make a fist.
Yes, and hold the phone. Yeah. And a listener earlier tonight from 847 area code says, while you're counseling John Williams on how to drive with his automatic headlights on, mm-hmm. you should also counsel John Landecker. John needs help with his lights and a reminder that Steve is the only king at WGN. Enough of this John Williams as King John.
Well, see, I've said for years, John wants to be king, and I've said for years, well, I've been king forever, so I'm moving on to Czar.
Czar. So the listener says, Landecker needs to give up his use of the Zamboni. That is Steve and Johnny's exclusive item.
We may have to talk to the boy
yes,
about that.
Because I've heard him say, you know, this is Radio Zamboni. No, he just likes to say the word. We've got the Zamboni driving up and down the hall.
And we've got the pictures.
Yes.
Of the keeper of the big plug.
Yes. Bob, who drives the Zamboni.
We've got the pictures of him riding. In fact, we posted them a couple weeks ago. Scroll down on our Facebook page and you'll find them.
That's to get the studio all set up for the Dean Richards Show coming up in just a few short hours here on WGN. So if you'd like to be our last caller, there's no quiz. It's just you stop by, we chat for a few minutes, and you kind of send us off into the foggy night. And if you haven't won anything in the last 60 days, there are prizes to be had. So 312-981-7200 is our telephone number, and we will get to that last caller after this on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
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 Losing time.
Losing time.
Head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
I could stay another 5 hours.
You have just been energized because
I have been.
Adam Phillips brought in some
Pickle gelato. Really, Julian? Pickle gelato. Look at it.
Unfortunately, I'm looking at it.
It doesn't look real appetizing, but man, is it good.
From far away, it looks like mint.
It looks like mold.
Probably tastes like mold.
No, it tastes just like a squeezed pickle, cold pickle.
Ugh.
It was so good.
So good?
It was really good. Apparently, Landecker had somebody in here on Thursday night that was swallowing swords and putting fire up their nose, and they also brought gelato in with them. Pickle gelato.
Which of those was the most dangerous?
And I find it amazing that it's been there since Thursday. Nobody has tried it. So he brought it into
me.
But
how can you tell if it's good?
It is so good. Are you kidding me? It's just like all chopped up pickles in this. Oh, man.
Johnny's got to get herself a Vlasic sponsorship.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there was a time. I don't want to waste this. I was the Pickle Packers of America's princess.
Yes.
I was the official princess of the Pickle Packers of America.
And we've told you about the 4-foot pickle that we have?
No, yes. This is news.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank
this
you.
Was
I got a big spoon now.
Because the Pickle Packers of America, they brought this. It's literally, it's about yay
it's
big. If you're looking at your radio speakers.
Well, you put your arms around. It's like putting your arms around a body.
Yeah. And we've told this story before, so I'll make it quick. They brought this big pickle. And
they mailed it to me, actually.
And we took it home, mm-hmm. and we would put it when we'd have a party. This is back in the days when we just had a shower curtain. We would put the pickle
in the bathtub.
In the bathtub. We could always tell if someone had peeked behind the curtain when they came out of the bathroom, if they were looking like,
what? Why is there a pickle and a can of Crisco in their bathtub?
And then Bob Surratt used to do a morning show on Channel 32. And it was they had a bit. It was like breakfast in bed with, and they would have local celebrities. And one morning, they decided they wanted to do it with us. So we went to the Sybaris, which is in the northwest suburbs.
And the only person we told was the cameraman.
Yeah.
So we went to the Sybaris, where the Sybaris played along, and they gave us their primo room, the room that had a not only a tub for many people, big enough for many people, but a pool, a ceiling that was all mirrors, and a harness hanging from the ceiling.
So Bob goes to the segment. He thinks he's going to interview us at our home in bed. And the camera, yeah, the camera pulls back from our faces. And then, first of all, on the back of the bed, you see a bunch of my puppets. Then, as the camera pulls a little farther back, you see this swing over our bed. And as the camera pulls farther back, you see this tub with this pickle.
Pickle. And he was afraid to ask us why there was a pickle or why there was a swing or why there were puppets in the bed with us and why the ceiling was. He had no idea. I do not think to this day that the man was ever told. Now, the funniest part to me was that back here at the studio, people were standing around in master control watching us on television, and some were heard to say, "Wow, what do they get paid? Man, that's some bedroom."
Yeah.
Okay.
We better get to our last caller.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
let's go. I'm picking number two.
Okay. So that was the pickle pick is number two.
Pickle pick.
And that's Jan. Hi, Jan. Where are you calling from?
Oh, right. I'm calling from Rosemont. This is Laboratory Jan calling you.
Oh, my gosh. Laboratory Jan.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Jan. We hear from you most Saturday nights when you tell us you're in the laboratory, right?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Have you been working hard in the laboratory tonight?
Well, I'm working not that hard, but Saturday nights are easy gigs. But anyway, we're just saving lives at a tremendous speed, that's all.
Just saving lives. Just, you know, a little thing like that. Well, now, my talk about pickles. Are you now craving a pickle?
Yeah, well, my mama always made 13-day sweet pickles.
Oh.
Which is wonderful.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. Kind of like a bread and butter, but even better because mama made them, right?
Exactly. And then she'd make, my aunt would make watermelon pickles.
Oh, yes.
She'd always have them at Christmas time.
Oh, my. Okay. You know what? I don't know about you, but in the next hour, there's going to be some food in our life, like fried chicken, something.
Yeah.
We started out the show talking about food, and here we are.
I'm still wanting that corn.
Corn, that corn on the cob, yes. Oh, my gosh. But we have an excuse. We ate yesterday at noon, so.
That's true.
A lot of time has passed. What's on your agenda?
And we had oatmeal and bacon then.
That's right. What's on your agenda for Sunday, Jan?
After I get out of here, I go to Mass at 8 o'clock at Our Lady of Mercy in Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I just try to collect my wits and get things done for the next week.
Now, does your week start on Monday night?
No, I'm off Monday. I'm off Sunday and Monday.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Well, Mike Jensen told us that Sunday is supposed to be an absolutely gorgeous
perfect
day.
Perfect day, yeah.
Yes, yes. It should be. I'm hoping it does not rain. I've had enough of this rain business.
No, it's supposed to be sunny. I'm just praying, as I said at the start of the show, after standing at the kitchen window and just looking at my 91 zinnias that I planted in the last 48 hours, I'm just praying that they're still in the little holes that I put them in, because I'm afraid there was so much rain that they may be down at my neighbor's house. All 91 of them. And I'm worried. You know what? This pickled gelato kind of dries up your mouth.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think that the acid in those peppers is hot. It does not sound too good.
No, it is actually very tasty, but in fact, Adam just walked in here a moment ago and brought me a bigger spoon because I was eating out of a little taster spoon.
So as we're driving home, you're going to be alternating between pickled gelato and chocolate chip cookies?
No, I'm sticking with the pickled gelato.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got some serious stuff going
on
there.
More chocolate chip cookies for
me.
For
you, yes, yes. Well, Jan, I'm so happy you got in tonight because I look forward to your text telling us that everything is right in your world. So if you will... If you will hang on, we're going to send you out some prizes like the WGN, the official WGN t-shirt. And now you know from listening to the show that as of June 1st, this radio station officially became WGN 100 years ago on right. June 1st. You're also going to be the recipient of the ever popular American Weathermakers desktop weather station. And thank you so much for listening in on Saturday nights. We really appreciate it.
We are rapidly running out of time. Boy, this 5 hours went very fast.
Yes.
Our thanks to The Empty Pockets for hanging out with us.
And you can follow them at TheEmptyPockets.com, or you can click through from our Facebook page to their page.
Our thanks to Patrick Crispin for providing us with the 10 cyber safety tips, and we'll have that posted up on our blog. Also, right. our thanks to Mike Jansen for checking in with us. Next week, quick reminder, we will probably not be starting till 10 o'clock
right.
because of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Right. And again, tonight, thanks to the keeper of the big plug, Adam Phillips, for bringing me in. Well, for being the keeper of the big plug, but for bringing me in the pickle gelato, too. And Julian, thank you so much. And in our newsroom tonight, we had Sylvia and Ron, and mm-hmm. we appreciate them. So stick around and join us again next Saturday night.
Talk to you next week.